Y'all can sit down now.
Ladies and gentlemen, let the games begin.
Real Racing USA back on the airways on the Short Track America Networks. I'm Rick Angies.
I'm Bill Green.
I'm Scott McAllister.
And I'm Clark Kent.
Yeah, you wish you was Clark
Superman.
Back, boys.
He is a reporter.
Some people thought we were gone for good.
Some people wish we were gone for good.
I'm telling you.
What's happening, Scott?
It's great to be here.
Scotty Mac in the house.
First time here River Bar and Grill, you know. You just take some time off.
What did they do, run you out of Gainesville?
Yeah, after last night they did, that's for sure.
No, first off, we need to welcome everybody in the house. Thanks so much for showing up, and we appreciate it.
All right.
We got a packed house tonight, and we are going to have some fun, talk to a lot of folks. We're going to talk to Ron Varney about the ASA racing going on around the country. We'll even get a chance to talk to, now everybody's heard about Atomic Speedway getting shut down. It's going to become a trucking center up in Tennessee, long-time, well-known speedway. We're going to talk to Al Varnador, who owns Crossville Speedway just down the road, about 30 miles away, 35 miles away. We're going to talk to him about what's going on with Crossville Speedway and Atomic Speedway going away, and that's going to get us into that little bit of talk about how we keep some of those tracks around. We'll also get a chance to talk, of course, to John Sapricone and Bobby Deal. They'll have their opportunity to talk to us, hopefully at the same time, if we can keep them away from each other's throats, and we'll get some information out of them about what's going to happen in 2007.
Bill, they're both sitting out there smiling.
Yeah, but they're not at the same table right now.
We'll move them over.
Yeah.
So did you rehearse this?
No, I just kind of...
This is pretty good.
I actually
damn
made some
good,
notes.
Man. Damn good.
This guy's I made some notes, that's all. Short Track America Retro Racing Vault will crank back up on Monday, correct?
Yes, Monday.
I guess that's what, the 15th? Yeah. And then Saturday Night Live now, after the races, we won't return to those until probably about March the 3rd, the first Saturday in March, to make sure we...
In March, yeah.
So we get everybody racing.
Yeah, but we got a little practice session coming up this Sunday.
Yep, this Sunday we will be down at Charlotte County Speedway, the Charlotte County Motorsports Park,
as it's now known. Thank you.
And we will be covering the Leroy Davidson Memorial 150.
No, it's actually the Brian...
Brian Davidson
Brian,
Memorial.
No,
well,
Leroy
died and thought that's what they wanted to make it. Sorry.
He was doing so well.
Leroy, such a great
guy. He didn't rehearse that part.
I did not rehearse that part at all.
No. And I saw him just the other day.
Brian Davidson.
He looked so good.
Yeah, he did. It's a damn shame, isn't it?
God bless Leroy.
Yeah.
God bless.
Sorry, Leroy. You can get
Scotty Mack, what have you been up to, brother?
Man, just running around. You know, there's no off season in this business.
No,
really.
None.
And really, when the racing stops, that's when my business really starts. So just been running around trying to get things tied up here so we can get... ready to go for the new season. That's really about it. Just getting some last-minute details so we can get some youngsters signed up in Carolina for some racing programs and get them started up there. And after that, it starts all back over again.
Oh, no
so really, there's just no time off.
No doubt, brother. You know, there's some people out there that I irritate. I mean,
they're
irritated that I'm in the tower and stuff. They have you to thank for being in the tower, brother. Ain't no doubt.
We had a blast up there, really. That was a good thing. We had a good time up there. And that's the main thing that I think that a lot of announcers just don't do is they don't have a good time and just be themselves. And if you're just yourself, like you and I are, and I was when I did it, you know, it just comes out. And that's really, Dude, that was just a screamer. You know, I was so excited. Oh, that was the whole thing. I just got so excited, and I think if you can convey that excitement, that's what really gets his fans jacked up.
I'll never forget that first night. I said, Scott, what if I screw up? He said, just keep rolling.
Keep going, brother.
Just keep on going.
It's live, you know, and that's a good thing about live stuff, really, is that there's no retakes. You know, I did TV, as a matter of fact, did John Sapercone's track for...
You and I did that.
And you remember, man. You know, it was like take 55, and I'd be going, oh man, can't we just use the one we did?
And it was hot,
hot as fire. But yeah, you know, it's like I said, if you just have that excitement, it comes out in you, and that's really what the fans, you know, the details, the technical stuff. Yeah, it's cool. It's really good to have, and obviously, you want to present as much of that as possible, but. It's all about getting them jacked up, brother.
Oh,
you know, that's
doubt,
what it's all
man.
About. Well, it's like the time I was up in St. Augustine when that track was still going, and I was with the Sarah Series, and I got out there on the front straightaway, and I said, how's everybody in St. Petersburg? And I was like, just keep on rolling, brother. Like nothing ever happened. So
a lot of them yelled anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they were going to yell anyway. Yeah, but that was... Yeah, and that's part of the fun of doing live stuff is what I think is that, hey, there's no do-over.
No do-over. You
just got to keep going. And
coming down Sunday with us?
Yeah, I'm going to try. I really am going to try. Hopefully there's I have an appointment Saturday that I can get out of the way and then hopefully make it down there for that evening.
Then we're all, Bill,
Sunday.
I'm sorry. So they make it better than.
And then we're also going to do some stuff over at East Bay. We're going to broadcast a few times live and do some live
shows. We're going to do several Tuesday night shows from East Bay. We're working on the logistics.
No Monday night shows?
No, well.
We can't do any shows when they're not racing.
We wanted to do the entire week of the late models, but we're not sure they're going to allow us to do that because there will be some speed chivalry.
It's okay. So, we checked. It's fine.
Okay, cool.
No problem.
So we should be okay. We'll be there for a little bit.
Just for some people from Brooklyn and stuff that want my letter of resignation, here it is.
Are you resigning?
Here it is. Hold my microphone.
Rick, you can't resign. Oh, my God.
Uh-huh. Put that where the sun don't shine.
Wow. That's a definitive.
Well, man, I thought you were really going to quit.
I'll give you
guys got to fire me.
I'll give you the $50.
You can't fire a slave. You know that. So, I mean, there you go.
Yes,
he's here forever.
Downtrodden and down with it.
Exactly.
No doubt, man.
Well, I guess we have to put him to work now.
Dream
what else we got on tap here tonight?
Charlotte County Speedway looks to be well represented.
Well represented.
Say what now? What was that? What speedway?
Charlotte County Motorsports Park.
Oh, okay.
It'll take me a while. Give me a break.
Especially since he already killed off Leroy.
I know.
I got an interesting. We come in here today, and I was sitting out there eating this gigantic brownie.
Oh, my God. I almost vomited when I saw it.
He should be on a sugar
high. It had more stuff on it. So, anyway, I'm sitting there eating this thing, and I get a phone call. And it's a banker. A banker's calling me.
Big time banker from Polk County.
Yeah. And he just happens to be from Polk County. And he wants to know what we think about, he was reading some stuff. He had done some Googling and found Karnak, and he wanted to know some stuff about, he read some of the stuff about Auburndale Speedway.
Can you tell me about the facility?
And he wanted to know what we thought that the potential for Auburndale Speedway was. And I'm like, man, this is impressive.
Jack went into a dance.
Yeah. It's huge. It's magnificent. It's fantastic.
So I gave him, you know, like what I thought about it, how cool it could be if it was, you know. Apparently there's some people come to him like getting ready to put down some
purchase
money.
Purchase the area.
May not I hope so. You know, I remember when we used to go to that track a long time when Gene Crane was the announcer there, and I used to fill in for Gene. And you'd sit on the outside, you know, and it was really hard to announce because the cars were going by. You couldn't even hear yourself in the microphone, in the headphones. But, you know, it didn't matter because, hey, I saw Jason Boyd and a boy from Mulberry about killed each other out there one
Big
night.
Big boy from Mulberry?
He about killed each other out
Wayne?
There.
Wayne?
Yeah.
Wayne Morris.
Yeah, Wayne Morris from Mulberry. They about killed each other out there one night.
Wayne's a cartoon, man.
But there's some good racing out there. Really cartoon. Is. And that was some good old times. So I hope that track goes.
But, you know, thing this guy was talking to me about, and a couple of track owners in this room right now may appreciate this. It was funny that he said, you know, they're only being offered to buy the property. They're not buying the business.
i.e., can you say housings, building?
No, there's no cars.
They're not going to.
They're not doing that.
That's good. Well, thank goodness for that. You know, I mean, so nowadays, and that's, I think, part of the issue, you know, maybe jumping ahead of the thing, but that's part of the problem is when land costs are so high, it's really hard for owners to not take that money and run when somebody says, hey, would you like to, you know, put this, buildings or this housing on your you know, we'll buy it all from you. It's hard to not do that, I would imagine.
Turn three condos.
So hopefully Auburndale Speedway very shortly here will change hands.
I hope so.
And we can get some more things happening. Huh?
It's up near your neck of the woods, eh?
No, well, it's kind of sort of, but it certainly is a good track to go to. I like to go there. Really nice. You're on top of the racing. It's a fun track to go to. So for their sake there in Auburndale, I hope they get that.
It would be horrible to lose it because it's been an awesome place. I mean, I grew up around it, of course, living in Mulberry of all places. But it was pretty nice little place. It's grown with the times. It's kind of gotten a little bit more modern, yet it was still an awesome track when it was, back in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
So.
And it's like you said, it has that.
Like the second longest running track. I believe Ocala beat it by about 8 weeks or something the year that they both built. But
so just right there together. Well, it's like I say, for those guys there in that area, that's. I hope they get things picked up. Okay, because like I said, I used to go there and watch Larry Osteen from all those days ago, and
Dave
Store Boys over there, and it's good to see those guys elsewhere, but I kind of like to see them back there.
You've been working on these marketing programs for a lot of these youngsters, right?
I tell you, it's really grown to the point to where, I don't know. It used to just be I had enough to deal with from right here in the state of Florida. Now, the majority are from elsewhere, and that's, it really has grown to the point where we have McAllister Sports Management is introducing what they call the Carolina Racing Connection, and that's in conjunction with some racing teams up in North Carolina, obviously. So, we're using that to help facilitate some of the youngsters to migrate into the bigger divisions there in North Carolina, perhaps the Dodge Weekly Racing Series or Hickory or wherever you may be, but
I hate
it's great
to
place.
Shift gears on us, but we've got Ron Varney on the line. Ron, how you
Come
doing,
on,
buddy?
Ron.
Hey, great. How you guys?
Sorry about that,
is
man.
This like ASA,
if you get
Ron
Scott
Varney?
Talking about Scott, sometimes he gets in trouble.
Come on,
Scott. This is Ron Varney from the ASA, the late model series, and he's going to be now. Ron, you guys are making a swing through Florida that includes New Smyrna Speedway, DeSoto Speedway, and also Bronson, correct?
That's correct, and recently we just added five flags in our challenge division as well. So we've got Florida pretty well represented this year.
Well, we've got an awful lot of young racers, especially that seem to be catching on to the ASA as a stepping stone they want to use to try to get their name out there and stuff. Is that what's happening all over the country? Are you getting a lot of new young racers coming out trying to join into these races as you travel around the southeast and the eastern states?
Absolutely, especially with Stephen Light moving up to Robert Yates Racing, and then now Kelly Byers with the Wood Brothers, and Landon Castle just signed with Drick. So, we're getting that reputation of being the place to be.
That's right. Well, I know that you've got an awful lot of folks that are traveling with you and stuff. How's the resurgence been? We're starting to get a lot more cars coming in, trying to get into the races and stuff. How's it felt to start to have that to, build back up for you as you've tried to work through that, I'm sure, the last few years?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to kid anybody. It hasn't been the easiest thing with the name association, with how it went down. But, things are actually going pretty well now. And, we're getting ourselves back as a premier late model series around the country again, and it's been a lot of hard work, a lot of money and expense into it, but we're starting to see some dividends.
Well, I know we got somewhat so-so connection right now, but tell us some of the places you'll be kicking off and what dates and times and places you'll be here in the first part of the season to get people associated with the ASA.
Well, we'll be kicking things off on March 3rd in San Antonio, Texas. That's our National Challenge Series. And down south there, we'll be in Bronson on March 17th. That kind of kicks off our southern swing. So, that's some of the dates that we're beginning with. Some of the highlight dates, obviously, will be in New Smyrna on June 23rd. We will be at DeSoto on October the 6th. Five Flag Speedway on September the 29th. And this year, we just added Bristol Motor Speedway on August 4th.
Wow. That's going to be awesome. Now, have you been able to pick up on any TV packages or radio packages? People will be able to keep up with you a little better whenever they can't get out to the races themselves and see them?
Well, yes. I mean, we've got some. We did some TV last year on the Dish Network. We've got some things in the work right now. Possibly you might see us on some sports, Fox Sportsnet channels. So, I mean, we've got a lot of exciting things we're working on, and, you know, we'll get them announced as soon as we can.
Well, I got a question for you then. It's kind of outside your realm maybe, but for the small Saturday night racing tracks that are around the country that we have so many of that we want to hang on to, what kind of advice would you give to those promoters, track owners, and so forth to help them survive kind of battling the big picture with the NASCAR, doing some of the things they do on Saturday nights and so forth?
Well, the best thing I can tell, you know, short track promoters is to make it affordable for racers. You know, everybody wants to see the big super late models with their big high horsepower motors, but in reality, you know, in today's economy and the way things are, we need people on the racetrack and, you know, get them there and make it affordable for them to come out and build our classes up and build some excitement in the community.
I tell you what, we'll look forward to hopefully some folks doing just that, and we'll look forward to seeing the ASA in Florida. It's going to be a lot of neat stops in here.
Yeah, as the weeks go on, Ron, we're going to be talking with yourself and some of the other officials on a pretty regular basis because there's so many youngsters from the Sunshine State who are starting to race with the ASA various series. So we'll keep in touch with you pretty closely.
All right, guys. I'll be glad to come back anytime. Just let me know.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Ron Varney, ladies and gentlemen, out of the ASA, as they're going to make a big Southern swing. Thanks so much, Ron.
Thank you, guys.
All right, looking forward to doing that. Now, the ASA, that seems to be a lot of folks are, you know, wanting to go late model racing in Florida, crate model racing and so forth, and they want to be able to go ASA racing.
We went down to Bronson. It's on the first time they came around last year. You know, they had a good turnout of cars, I should say. You know, there's no doubt about that. Bronson perhaps wasn't the best place for them to make their debut. They had a little, as with all series, though, they had a few technical glitches about, you know, who's going where and what's doing what. But there, to be honest with you, in Bronson, they were a little bit follow the leader. Right. But I think that, you know, they've changed that a lot. I think they've altered their cars and the way that they handle their program, so I think that's really enabled them to go to places like Bristol. I mean, you know, so they've done well with their marketing package, and that's, you know, that's a big part of their deal.
What they're doing is they're actually pushing themselves out there to the national market, and they're doing a pretty good job. They're staying out front. People know who they are. Of course, the ASA name's been around a long time, but it's a good package deal. Crate Motors, you know, it's supposed to be an affordable series, so we'll see.
And they're sticking to the smaller 3/8. You know, half mile style track.
Saturday night venue.
Well, let me tell you, too big for the bridges.
When they make it to New Smyrna this year, it's going to be a whole different animal because they're repaving that track, and it is going to be.
That's a scary thought.
It is going to be so fast.
It's already pretty fast.
Oh, it's going to be really fast. You got TBRA there a couple of days during their winter nationals. That should be just too wild.
So, Jack, you're
a little scary.
Email snatching poll.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
That was a pretty good one. Jeff Choquette, your winner. 33% of the people voted for Choquette and how he came back in late 2006 season.
It really showed how. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just say, you know, it really showed how popular Jeff Choquette is, and also.
Take your time.
Go ahead.
What's his name?
Which one? What are you doing?
No, not Schofield.
Sorry. Did you get a mind blank there?
The late model dude, man.
Goodyear
Challenge. Goodyear Challenge.
Oh, Rich Clouser.
Rich Clouser.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Rich Clouser and Jeff Choquette. I mean, the whole fast car nation turned out and voted for those guys. I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing. They're very, very popular.
Second place.
And very deservingly so. I can tell you, Rich Clouser, Bobby Sears, those guys, they put a good, they got a good program going on. They really, really do. Like I said, Bobby Sears, he knows what he's doing, and that makes it, you know, really comfortable for any driver, much less Rich Clouser.
And the top officials in the Fast Car Series, because, you know, you're going through sorting these things, you recognize a few emails.
Mm-hmm.
They took the time to vote for Rich Clouser.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty impressive.
It really does. It tells you about their whole team is really just nice, quiet, laid back. Yeah. They don't really.
Well,
you know,
the reason I call it the email snatch and pull is because somebody thought you were selling email addresses, but that's
not true. We'd be so lucky.
If we wanted,
we could try, we should try that.
Yeah. A tenth of a centipede.
I know.
Second place was, of course, the Ruderman story, 18% of the votes. You know, that, what a
yeah,
you know,
I'm almost surprised that that was not number one.
I was too.
I mean, that's
it was.
A big story.
We had discussed
for us.
That.
Yeah.
Before.
Yeah. That's a big, big story for Florida. It's a big kudos for the guys who are in that age bracket, for crying out loud. We've talked about, you know, the lost generation of racers for months around here and almost a year. And for the guys that are that age in the 30s and getting the opportunity for him to go racing shows that you still can't do it.
Well, you know, these surveys, though, they quite often, and this one did, they turn into popularity contests. So
yeah, that's true.
And that might have been not that much of a surprise. I mean,
with Showcat, yeah.
No, I mean with David, with David getting his right. I mean, you know, it right. was kind of an unspoken.
No, what surprises
type
Robert
deal,
Yoho?
But,
you know,
he's always a surprise.
He got votes. He got votes.
More power to you.
We had Yoho in there.
Really? He was a write-in vote.
Schofield was third, of course. He had a hell of a year.
Yeah, he did. And it was just awesome. But he did it the same thing. He did it very quietly.
Earl Pearson Jr.
About it.
Well, I haven't gotten down that far.
Oh, you're going.
Yeah, see,
take your time.
Of course, there's this one down here at the bottom about Real Racing USA.
Bill and Rick.
Bill and Rick voted.
I guess you one. Y'all voted for each other.
Yeah. Well, I got like 30 email addresses I didn't. But anyway, the top dirt driver of the year, Earl Pearson Jr.
He lied.
And there's no doubt.
Of course, Evident Lloyd was second, though. What are you going
to
do with that?
You know, it's kind of hard to vote Evident second to anything when it comes to dirt in the state of Florida.
I'm telling you. He's been around, like, right there at the border.
I mean, first time went over to Speedway over there in Daytona, the dirt track over there, Volusia County. Yeah, haven't been there in a long time.
I saw him
over there.
I want us to take an opportunity not only to answer the phone.
He ran like a scout. Yeah, I used to, man, with Bob Murphy. Yeah. It was the first place I really ever picked up a microphone. I never forgot. I was going down the line introducing people, and I was so bad he jerked the microphone out of my hand, and he introduced the next three or four people. He said, "Now, do you know what you're doing?" I said, "I'm not sure, but I did it."
Okay.
Yeah. I want to make sure people understood that we did that survey, or that survey was done by Carnac.com, in a manner so that people could not sway it.
Yeah, we did it in such a way that you couldn't.
Real Racing USA, you're live on the air.
Hey, it's Teddy Kepkins.
Hey, Teddy, how are we doing, buddy?
Good, how's everybody?
Well, we're hanging in there, having a good time. Got a packed house trying to find more seats. There are more chairs behind the bar. Just pull them out and pull them up.
Randy Fox is in the house.
We'll have to get young Katie maybe to move over with her mom, and we'll get the rest of the
Teddy, how's the Save the Mamba campaign coming?
Well, we're getting there. The car is a roller, and the motor's back. A motor is back in it, and it's a rolling chassis. We're just hoping that some more help comes along so we can afford to have it painted. Nothing else has been located that we were missing, the tools and spare parts and things of that nature. But at least it's a complete car and looks like the Mamba again.
Well, that's good to hear. How are we looking for that debut sometime in March or whatever it was?
Well, that's our focus. We're gonna do everything we can to make that. Right now, there's a few spare parts that are missing that we need. So
now, this is not just any debut.
This is like jet engine spare parts?
Yes, unfortunately, it's things that Doug's gonna have to search some aircraft salvage yards or maybe some friends of his that have some of these motors also.
So basically, if anybody's out there across America listening to us who happens to have a garage with some spare jet engine parts from the 60s, they should, like, get in touch with you.
From the 50s, yes. Please call.
50s.
Yeah, please call.
There's a salvage yard just outside of Fort Rucker, Alabama, that has some small GE-type motors.
That's 60 years ago.
Yeah, we know. Actually, the motors, I believe the motors were obsoleted in 1954, if I think I'm right.
Oh, well, I'm sure you are.
But it's there's some of the control cables and stuff that we're going to have made, like PTO-style cables. The wiring, of course, but just a few of the things that were damaged on the engine that we don't have replacement pieces for at this time.
Now, people can still get a listing somewhere at the website or something so they know what you need?
Either that or call my number that's on the website, either way.
Okay.
I tell you, our big thing right now, we've got a gentleman that's offered to sandblast it for free, but we don't want to sandblast it if we don't have the ability to get it painted yet. And we hate to sandblast it, put it in primer, someone offer to paint it for us and not like the primer we used, so we need to be sure that we're on the same page of who's going to do the paint work. And that's kind of where we're at. If we could get that done, then we could actually start bolting some items on it permanently.
Well, we're talking to Teddy Kimkins about the Save the Mamba program. It's SaveTheMamba.com where you go to check it out.
.org.
It's .org, sorry. .org. Yeah. SaveTheMamba.org. And you can find out what kind of things he needs. Give him a call. Teddy, what's your phone number, buddy? We might as well do that.
Absolutely. Area code 352-588-9621.
Thanks so much, Teddy. I know you're working hard for it, and hopefully we'll make it happen.
Do we have boxing gloves in there tonight?
No, the gloves are off.
Yeah,
the gloves
they are? Well, good.
Yeah. Actually, we got kid gloves on the table.
Gotcha.
All right, brother.
Tell everybody hello, and thanks again, you guys, for all your help.
All right, Teddy.
Thanks,
Teddy.
Bye-bye.
That's SaveTheMamba.org.
Yeah, and if you go there, there's actually an interview.
It's actually a picture of the roller.
Yeah. And there's a bunch of pictures. And there's an interview that you can listen to with Doug Rose, who created the owner and creator of the old.
So he had like a wedding registry going on there. You can look online and see what they need and choose it out and send it to him. Yeah. Pretty cool.
Can we squeeze registry. Tim Daggert? Tim Daggert. Jim Daggert.
Jim Daggert.
Jim Daggert. Jim Daggert.
Diger.
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 Diger. Let's try it.
Diger.
Diger.
Get him up here.
Three announcers sitting here. Bill doesn't know anybody's names, but you know who got 411's announcer of the year? He's passed. He's gone away now.
Gordon Solie. And you had to be him. He's my favorite.
Yeah,
if you grew up in Florida and you watch wrestling, brother, there's no doubt about it.
A crimson mask.
and he was much more than that. You know, and that's when you really find out, you do some research about Gordon Solie, you find out he was much more than what I grew up with. But, you know, when you grew up with Dick Dunn and...
At Golden Gate Speedway.
Yeah.
Gordon Solie, awesome dude. Awesome dude.
What's up, Jim?
Hey, how are you?
No, what I wanted to know is, Jim, we've been working with Jim through Karnak.com and Short Track America and so forth for a long time. There you go, Jim.
Take that thing off of that microphone stand.
Leave it. Just stand it up straight. It was all fine. You didn't have to touch anything.
But I got to reach. I'm a short
guy. I know. Look,
no, you don't.
Take it off there.
It's wired for sound. I can hear you fart.
There you go.
There you go.
I got to turn it down.
Okay.
Jim Diger is a man of means, and he wants to hold his microphone. Damn it, he can hold his microphone.
You hold the microphone. Anyway, we've been working with you guys for like almost a year and a half, or 2 years, I think. How's things going at Kills and Wheels, and how is the...
Try like nine.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Karnak has
it. It's been a long time.
I'm talking about from the radio shampoo.
We go back to many events many years ago.
But my point was, the racing pages that are in Kills and Wheels are an awesome situation for the people in the local community. They love to see that magazine because they get it for free, and it's a neat way to do things. But when will we start seeing more race coverage this year? Are you going to start a little earlier than usual, or are you going to have to hold off until you get into the season?
We've always started the week after Daytona opens. But with the advent of so many new things going on in Southwest Florida, we may be able to start a little sooner. Of course, as you know, first of all, I'd like to say we're really pleased to be able to do what we do. We are the only publication in Southwest Florida that has a weekly racing program to it. Jay Arnold does an awesome job of keeping that thing up, putting it together and making it happen. It's been a delight over the years to be able to do it. We know that our audience calls us at different times and gives us a lot of accolades for what we do because we've actually kind of forced the newspapers to come to task. And that's really a nice position to be in when you're in media and you can go out there and do something and make things happen because of what you do.
Well, I think it's an awesome situation. I just wanted to take this opportunity here at the beginning of our 2007 season to thank you for being on board, helping us, helping the racing community, keeping things going. And hopefully all of those things pushing in the right direction will keep racing around and alive for many, many years to come because we're always worried about losing more tracks, losing more people, that kind of thing.
Right.
So we do appreciate that, and thank you so much for it.
Well, thank you, Bill. It's been our pleasure, and we're going to continue to real strong for 2007. And, yeah, we may be able to see it start just a little earlier this year.
I was hoping. Next week, okay?
Next week?
He's on vacation,
how about tomorrow?
Brother.
Yeah, I don't care.
Right.
I just keep sending stuff, and I think Jade trashes it if he can't use it.
Jimmy started Kills and Wheels. Of course, it was an entrepreneurial thing. You're going to sell cars for people and stuff, but it's blossomed into so much more.
Well, yeah, beyond the initial publication we have here, it started in Bradenton, Sarasota. Of course, we have the publication that serves Southwest Florida, which is Lee, Collier, and Charlotte County. So our reach and our footprint now goes from the southern Tampa Bay area all the way to Marco Island. So we cover this entire Southwest Florida market area. We do almost 50,000 copies a week.
That that's an awful lot of them out there, man.
It's an awful lot of them out there in people's hands, and it's designed to do what it does. It helps bring buyers and sellers together, and, of course, we cross all venues of automobile and marine and related items. But because of the automobile section has been so much, over the years we find that racing just became an adaptation to it. And for personal desires and for other reasons, racing just as an adjunct to what our magazine is, it's a nice fit. We really like it. We've had a lot of fun over the years. Of course, we did our salute to racing for so many years, and you guys were all involved there, and we'd like to see something get brought back into Southwest Florida again. There's a lot of ingredients to make that go, and media makes it work. You guys are doing a great job, too.
I drove by, and I saw the garage door up and the pallet in there yesterday. They're distributing them by people driving up, and I take it you have a lot of people doing distribution for you.
Yes.
Helping take them around because they were backing up and loading up their truck because I went by one way, and then as I came back the other way, they were still different cars loading up again.
Yeah, you only saw a small snippet if you just saw one garage because that garage is all over.
How many pallets does it take for 50,000 copies?
About 11.
Wow.
11 pallet loads, yeah.
That keeps you busy, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, the other thing about Keels and Wheels is local newspapers, there's nothing about racing in them. I mean,
well,
if there is.
That's why I say I'm really proud to be able to push those guys and say, listen, wake up, you guys. You know, cover this stuff. It's important. It's important to the community. It's important to the livelihood of many people. And it's just an important sport. You know, it didn't take NASCAR too long, too many years to let the world know racing is a sport, not just an entertainment, although that's one of the microcosms of it, but it's a sport. And for many people, it's a career.
And these are our local athletes out there.
Absolutely. Local athletes. Excellent way to put it.
Right.
Because when you get out there and run in those cars or whatever you are running in and whatever race endeavor you are in, it becomes a life endeavor for the people that are good. And like all professions, in the top 2 or 3% of the guys that are putting it in at 120% every day, every hour.
No doubt, Scott. How many drivers have you held up on a Saturday night in July, man? When you're interviewing the winner and they've just gone 100-125 laps.
Yeah.
You know, these guys are athletes.
Oh, no doubt. You know, the other thing about it is they're athletes, but they're also business owners. They're workers.
Exactly.
They're state employees. They're the people that live next door to you, and which is what kind of Keels and Wheels is about. You know, it's like you said. You can go online to search for cars globally if you want nowadays, but it doesn't have the type of touch.
He's good, Amy. He's damn good.
It is true. I mean, you know, the thing about it is, it's like you said, you can get on there. It's just not very personal.
You want a Ferrari? Shop in France.
And you know, I think that Keels and Wheels does have that personal touch. I mean, it's almost like the people that pick up your magazines, they know you guys. They see you at the track.
That's right.
I think we're gonna hop up into our third gear.
We're gonna go right up north. We were talking earlier about Atomic Speedway getting shut down and Speedway's going away. We're gonna talk to Al Varnador, the man who runs Crossville Speedway. Al, how you doing?
Oh, a little cold today, but pretty good otherwise.
Little cold. How cold's a little cold?
Well, I think it's about 31 degrees right now. There's snow all over the ground. Every inch of the property was under snow this morning whenever I woke up. And it snowed off and on all day.
Now, I know you, Al Varnador, you looked at that snow and you thought snowmobile racing.
No, I looked at that and said, what have I got myself into?
Hey, listen, Atomic Speedway now, it's like 40 miles away, 50, what is it?
It's about 45, 50 miles away from me.
Okay, now, what kind of effect do you think this will have on your speedway, and what kind of effect does it have to lose a big-name speedway, in Tennessee? I mean, people have been going to Atomic Speedway for a lot of years.
Well, it's a very strong speedway. It's a very good racetrack. It's been run by a very wise man who's done a good job with it. And industry-wise, I hate to see it. Personally, for Crossville Raceway, it's going to be a boom for us. It's going to help us out a whole bunch. We're going to be able to change from running on Friday night after everybody gets off work to Saturday night. And hopefully we'll pick up a lot of the cars that they have over there once they get used to our new rules and try to make it a little bit better for them to get here. And hopefully the fans will be able to get here a little bit better on Saturday night. So, like I said, for the industry, I hate it because you know, we're a dying breed, it seems like, all over the country with the racetracks going away because they're not making enough money to operate. And it's tough for our industry, and it makes it even tougher. Every one of them goes away, that's a little bit of our history and a little bit of our clout in the industry world, you know, that we're losing.
Now, Al, I got to ask you, though, in the sense of these tracks are getting slowly but surely eaten up by the economy, so to speak, because the property values are just so high that running a racetrack is just not economically, you know, feasible and smart for certain tracks in certain areas. They're getting overrun by the big cities that are around them and so forth. How long do we have for all the other tracks? When will it come to a point that they're just not going to be worth running a track? It's only going to be a few of you left.
On a weekly basis, I think it's not too far down the line. On a special event basis, racetracks like East Bay, where we're pretty well protected and we don't have people moving in around us and our property values are staying pretty well set, we're okay for probably the long term. But places like Crossville and places like Atomic, where the values are going up and the development is just starting to hit those places, it's, you know, short term, it doesn't look real good.
Yeah, it's been an amazing situation in the past few years. I mean, we've had several smaller speedways just kind of get eaten up. Several try to start, can't get open, can't get the funding and so forth. It's just really crazy how things happen. But with Atomic Speedway, I mean, it literally went from one of the most viable, well-known speedways in the country to talking about becoming a trucking center or whatever kind of people that were going to wind up there that own this truck deal. To being sold very quickly, it seemed. I don't know if it was going on for years, but it just didn't get in the news until recently.
I think the last couple of years the economy has changed and he's struggled. I think all racetracks have struggled. Nobody's made the money they did 10 years ago in this business. And the economy has caught up with us. The price of fuel has got a lot of people staying closer to home to do their entertainment, racing as racers and as fans. And that's put a crimp on it, and only strong is going to survive. And you know, you got to have a show worthwhile for people to come out to.
All right. How are you going to separate Crossville Speedway from the Atomic Speedway situation? How do you keep yourself viable, growing, and involved, I think, enough in the community that the community wants you to stay?
Well, that's my goal here, is to get with the Chamber of Commerce and make this part of the community. And hopefully that situation there, they're right alongside the interstate. I mean, you can see the racetrack from the interstate. So the property there has a bigger commercial value. Here where I'm located in Crossville, I've got a big road, but it's not an interstate. That's right here to me. And so it's not as valuable a property. It will never be as valuable a property. The location they were in, being just, you know, 20 minutes out of Knoxville, is very valuable to them because it's a hub. And this place here will never see that kind of potential for commercial development. What worries me here is eventually in the long term, residential's moving in around me, as it is at DeSoto Speedway down in DeSoto. It seems like the residential part of the world is moving out there to that. And that could years down the line be probably my thorn in my side that hurts me here. But I'm going to, like I said, just try and work with the community, do things ahead of time. Next year I've already put in the rule book for 2007 that in 2007 mufflers are optional, but in 2008 they'll be mandatory. Now, nobody from the county or city or state has told me to do that. I'm doing that on my own to stay one step ahead of them so that if we ever do have a noise problem, that I'm a step ahead of them and say, look, we're trying to eliminate the problem before it became a problem.
Well, Al, you got a couple of months before the snow melts up there. East Bay getting ready to kick off. How's it looking for you guys?
It looks like it's going to be a barn burner this year. Everybody's really excited. The factions that's been doing the warring, the tire wars, it's all history, and everybody's on the same page. They want to come down to Florida and race, and East Bay is the first stop on the agenda for every one of them. And like I said, they're all getting excited about it, and I can see why they're excited about it up here. I just got up here yesterday, and then it snowed all day today, and I'm ready to get out of here. So if those guys have been a little bit farther north, and they've already been snowed in for, you know, a few weeks, I can't blame them for wanting to get to Florida where it's at least warmer.
But, you know, East Bay's always been known as a sprint car racetrack. I mean, years and years with the Sprint Car Winter Nationals and stuff. But I'm telling you what, Al, We went to those great late model races, and I'm telling you what, the late model guys are really starting to pour into East Bay.
I was really tickled with the great turnout. I was surprised with the 95 cars. I mean, that's really a outstanding number, being the crates have only really, you know, we've only run that race twice now. And the late model industry is, as a whole, is way stronger than sprint cars. The sprint car industry has been in a turmoil, and they've lost a lot of people in that industry that were the ones who built the industry. And so it's in turmoil and transition, whereas the late models are just building and building, and right now there's probably 2,000 late models across the country. Whereas sprint cars, I would say, we're around 200, 250 is the most sprint cars you're going to find as far as 410s. And then the 360s, another 300 to 500 at the max.
Hey, Al, how many days is too many days of racing in February and January? But what kind of number you guys got in your head? Will you go all the way to 45 days straight racing, or will you stop at 22?
I don't think we could do that. I think we're pretty much at the limit with it. Our people just, I mean, you know, we get wore out. I mean, it's a blast, and we keep going on adrenaline. And some nights, Todd and I and all of us working there, we get in bed just in time to get up again, and it's tough. But, well, you know, the adrenaline keeps us going, and the show is just that good, and the people are that great, and it makes it, you know, it's a lot of fun. I could do that all year long, but, you know, the adrenaline would catch up with me, and my body would say, no, look, we got to quit. So I think last year we went straight through 23 or 24 days in a row.
Hey, Al.
This year we got a couple of breaks.
Hey, Al, we got about 40 people down here at the Snook River Grill, and a couple of them got sweaters on because it got down to, like, below 70. So I guess we'll see in a couple of weeks, and hopefully it'll stay warm all winter.
Yeah, I believe it's going to be a great winter. The weather forecast looked good. So
all right.
It'll be a lot better. At least there won't be snow there, I don't think.
We'll catch you in a few weeks at East Bay. We're going to come down there and see you, as always, and we'll do some interviews here next week and the following week with some of the drivers that are coming down. Look forward to seeing you.
Sounds great. I really appreciate you guys' help. Thanks all of us working together to keep this industry going.
No problem, Al. We appreciate you too, Benny, and we'll look forward to seeing you. We'll hopefully make sure that we get a chance to do some of the races live as we can and take care of you guys as best we can.
Everybody
that
stay
sounds
safe.
Great.
All right, Al Varnador, ladies and gentlemen, Atomic Speedway. Thanks again, Al.
Thank you.
All right, stay tuned. We still got Bobby Deal, John Sapricone, Randy Fox, all the people in the house, John Lavelle, figure eight racer. We're coming up.
Crazy people, figure eight racers, the crazy people.
Real Racing USA right here at the Snook River Grill. Scotty Mack in the house.
In the house.
Dayton Andrews Dodge is closing out 2006 in racer-friendly style. Dayton Andrews Dodge on the corner of 22nd Avenue and 34th Street in St. Petersburg, just off I-75, is offering great racer specials for the end-of-year savings. Buy now any new or used car, truck, or van at Dayton Andrews Dodge and tell them you heard it here on Short Track America. They'll send $500 of your racer special deal to sprint car driver Greg Leonard and his wife Vera for the David Leonard Foundation. Looking to help racers in need? That's your racer-friendly Dayton Andrews Dodge five-star dealership. Dayton Andrews Dodge, corner of 22nd Avenue, 34th Street North in St. Petersburg. It's the little drive that saves a lot and gives a little more. 727-321-0500, the number to call for Taylor Andrews at Dayton Andrews Dodge. Tell them Short Track America sent you.
Hi, I'm Paulie Milam, driver of the number 42 sprint car at East Bay TVARA, and you're listening to Real Racing USA with Bill Green, Jack Smith, and Rick Angies.
Evergreen Development Construction Company is more than just a land clearing business. They help you from site inspection to blueprint design and construction. CJ Carberry and the Evergreen crew guarantee your satisfaction in every aspect of site preparation and facility construction. Call Evergreen Development Construction Company in Tampa at 813-202-8008. That's 813-202-8008. Or give them a shout at 813-478-8847. Evergreen Development and Construction Company, the only company you'll have to call. Evergreen.
CarKnight.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarKnight.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, Look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
A new concept in driver and team promotion has begun.
McAllister Sports Management and Carnac.com have combined to bring you the ultimate in motorsports marketing. Nothing beats winning, but it does nothing for you or your team if not promoted to the correct group of individuals. Together, Jack Smith and Scott McAllister have over 35 years' experience in the Florida racing industry and have developed a program to meet all your marketing needs, including custom design websites, professional and prompt press releases, audio-visual presentations and distribution, autograph cards, logo design, and media skills development. Achieve the exposure you need to catch the attention of potential sponsors and race team owners in a unique and professional style. No stale websites or cookie-cutter press releases. We analyze your needs and tailor each project and program to your specific goals. Call 352-804-0078 or log on to McAllisterSportsManagement.com or Carnac.com for more information.
Welcome back to Real Racing USA as we go live back on the air. We've got Kyle Owen out of North Florida Speedway. Now, Kyle, if I'm not mistaken, you are an open-wheel modified pilot?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So you did you run for the championship this
past
year?
Hey, Bill, I think Kyle was the champion up there.
That's what I thought. I wanted to make sure before I stepped on myself here.
Yes, Kyle? Sir. We won the track championship in 2006 at North Florida Speedway.
Awesome. Well, that's pretty cool. Now, you're looking for a big run coming up. I think they're having modifieds and sprints 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of February up your way in North Florida Speedway.
Yes, sir. We're definitely looking forward to that. We've been working on the car during the winter, trying to get it ready, definitely so we can have a strong run in February.
Hey, listen, I know that it stays a little cooler up that way, but not too bad. This early start to the season, though, that 1st of February kind of time frame, that sounds like it could bring some folks out of the northern part of, you know, the states, especially, of course, Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, and so forth, looking for a big field, I take it.
Hopefully, because they're scheduling this race before some of the other races that are in southern Florida, and hopefully we can catch them on the way down, and I believe there should be a large field there, and I'm looking forward to hoping that they come down.
Think you can hold them off?
Well, that's my home track. I have 2 track championships there, and I'm confident but not overconfident. I enjoy running with those folks that come down from the Midwest, Indiana, and around there. But definitely, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I'll tell you what. Now, you got some great sponsors, I bet, helping you out to be able to run for a championship and get 2 of them. Who are they?
Amsoil Synthetic Lubricants and No Ink Performance out of Lake City.
Awesome, awesome, Jill. Well, I tell you what, when we get back up to North Florida Speedway, I'll make sure I look you up.
Yeah, we're going to come up. We're going to come up and cover that event. Absolutely.
So? All right.
Yeah.
Well, I guess sounds like we'll be there. My producers have already put money in the kitty for me to get gas.
Yeah, that's definitely.
Got your kitchen pass.
Yeah.
Hey, Cal, before we let you go, just one. I have a quick question about the track up there. You feel pretty confident about the way it's being going now? Like the track was kind of going up and down for a while. Does it feel better for you?
Oh, definitely. Phil and Liz have done an excellent job, with just basically refurbishing that track. And I mean, it is 10 times better than it has been in the past, 5 years. And, it has no way to go but up from where it started.
Well, I tell you what, I think they're doing a great job. They're really getting the word out, and hopefully we'll see by the response to this show that things are starting to come together. North Florida Speedway is going to make a name for itself up there. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's definitely a pleasure to run there now. I've really enjoyed running there this past year, and I was just definitely pleased that I could do it with them.
Well, I look forward to seeing you, man. I'll track you down when I get there. I got to get going. We got lots to do today. We just want to touch base with the champion, North Florida Speedway. Thanks a bunch.
Well, thank you. Thank you for calling.
Kyle Owen, ladies and gentlemen, the Oakville Modified champion in North Florida Speedway. It's always nice to talk to one of those, and we will look forward to talking to him when we get back up there to visit.
Bill, what? Jack wants to talk to you. And while we're don't have any dead time. Some of the fast times from Daytona. Scott Wimmer was your fast one today. Dale Earnhardt Jr., Casey Kane, Ryan Newman. Your first fast forward was Ken Schrader. So looks like the Chevys and the Dodges got them flying up there at Daytona. We were looking at that earlier, Scott.
Scott Wimmer. He was humping.
Quick man.
He was humping, man. I'm here to tell you, had that thing dialed in. They were, you know, the testing over there, they've really cut down. I mean, they're not doing it like they were doing it before. It's not as intense as it was. And they said that's merely because they're saving their money a lot for the car of tomorrow tests. Really what they're saying. It's like, dude, we don't even need 3 days there. You know what you've got when you get before you even get there. You know what you've got.
I mean, they ran into their first problem with the car of tomorrow.
That's not true, though, Rick.
It didn't fit in the hauler today.
They put traveling tires on there, obviously. But, you know, those cars, they're really, like I said, they're trying to save a lot of their funds. Some of the smaller teams are emphasizing the car of tomorrow test. So that's what they were saying. You know what you've got before you go to the Daytona. If you've been to the wind tunnel and you've been to the dyno,
you know it's going to fit.
You know what it's going to be. So, I mean, if you just can hold it to the mat, it's what you got. So those guys were really doing good over there. Good to see those guys, especially Scott Wimmer up front. They were humping.
All right, with us now, USCS President Pete Walton.
He's not there.
You know what? Bill was just funning you. He's not really on.
No, he was trying to. He had somebody else on the other
line. Oh, he's a segue.
He was trying to tell them goodbye, and then he would come back to us.
Okay. Hey Pete, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Got your next week guest on, I think, was on the other line there.
He's lining people up for next week for us.
We need all the producers for this show we can get, Pete. Thanks very much.
Oh, next week's guest you got on, Pete?
Yeah, he's lining him up for us.
I was talking to Tom Seitz. He was Tom's one of the top UMP modified racers, and we've already had the track champion on there, so maybe next week we get Tom lined up.
That'd be great. You got the Winter National deal, the Snowbird 200, I believe it is, coming in?
Yeah, we're calling it Snowbird 200 because we're going to run 200 laps of features there in 2 days. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Well, you're coming and going a little bit, but we're doing our best.
Yeah, I just get in a steady spot here.
Are you driving?
I got a full signal.
You sound all right.
Make sure you stop for the red ones.
He has the network behind him.
Yeah, it's that wonderful digital service.
You have to slow down when you're traveling with the network. They got to keep up with you.
No doubt.
We're, we're doing something we feel like is going to work up there at North Florida Speedway for the first weekend in February. Actually, racing on Groundhog Day will be our first night of actual racing. We got a practice session on Thursday night, February 1st at the North Florida Speedway, and then two nights of full action.
Well, now, somewhere in this country, there's a place that makes chassis for race cars, and they are called Groundhog Chassis. And they had one of those show up about 3 years ago at East Bay Raceway Park, and they played with it like it was the, animal that sees the sun or doesn't see the sun. We had some fun with that. So you could probably do some things that would be a lot of fun on that day.
Yeah. It's going to be exciting to have something going on Groundhog Day. I'm sure we'll come up with some.
Well, Pete, you always add some excitement
to an interview.
I think you're
losing Pete. Yeah, I think we're losing Pete's signal.
Pete, are you okay?
Can I call you back on another line?
Yes, sir.
You got the number, baby. Call on.
What is your number? Was the one you called?
Give me the number.
That's right. The one I called you on, call me back on.
Okay, thank you.
Got it.
That number just happens to be 941-748-3490. And it rings magically into the Snook River Grill
studio.
2505.
The short track
Manatee Avenue East.
Yeah. The short track America.
It's in the
room.
Tampa area generally.
That may be him on another line.
In Florida, home of the national champion,
Papa John's Pizza.
Darn right.
We're back.
Yeah, we're back. Yeah, thanks, buddy.
There you go.
That sounds a little better.
That cell phone works great.
So, Pete, give us the 2 minute drill about what's coming up at North Florida Speedway.
My 2 minutes are over or on?
No, I said 2 minute drill starting
it's
now.
It's the
go
2 minute
it.
Drill, man.
Well, what's happening is February 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, we're going to have the O'Reilly United Sprint Car Series, our sprint car series there at North Florida Speedway. Plus, we're going to have the UMP modified sanctioned race, and it's kind of UMP versus the Florida modified. That's going to be the north-south shootout for those guys, and they're kind of open up the rules a little bit to make everybody kind of legal. If you got an open-wheel modified and you're in Florida College, because we're probably going to make you illegal for that north-south shootout. And Phil Godogno there at the track told me he wanted to see one of his track guys win it, so he's going to post an extra bonus for a Florida driver to win it. Plus, we got a lot of bonuses up. It's going to be worth $2,500 to win both nights in the open-wheel modified division. And we're expecting, you know, I was expecting about 30 sprint cars when we first started, but I get calls on top of calls every day now. I think we're going to have between 40 and 50 sprint cars and about at least 40 modified. So going to be a great show. And then they're also, we're racing the two stock car divisions, the North Florida Speedway hobby stock class. And if you're looking for rules on that, you race hobby stocks or pure stocks, go to www.northfloridaspeedway.com and you'll find the rules for those classes.
I tell you what, we're going to probably get you back in the next week or so to make sure we get a good return on your value here for promoting, because we still are having a little trouble with your phone. It's wanting to squeal back through its own speaker through the mouthpiece that you're talking into. It comes back out of the earpiece and catches a little squeal there every once in a while.
Say what? What
was that now?
He's so loud.
Explain that again, Bill.
Jeez, I almost had him bamboozled.
The good thing about it is,
you kind of understand what we got going on there since you're directly on the microphone. And,
we got it.
And we may want to talk to you. Are you busy that weekend? I might need you up there helping me out, you know.
I'd be more than happy to. We plan on being there.
Yeah, I'm his agent, Pete.
Oh, here we go.
And we've already arranged for him to be there. So.
Okay, well, you know, but we're going to probably need some help. And we actually don't have a full-time announcer with the O'Reilly USC.
Well, you do for that weekend. We'll figure it out.
No. There's three of us here.
I think we're going to have a great show. That track,
the number to call.
I raced there myself back in the early 90s. It was a little different then. It was oil, dirt, and now they put a lot of clay in there, and they're putting up more lighting, and he's bringing in a lot of extra bleachers for this race, I guess. Phil's pretty sure we're going to have a lot of fans, I guess. So,
I imagine about 7,000 to 10,000.
Yeah, I hope so.
All right, Pete.
We're going to have plenty of race cars. It sounds like we're going to get about half our modified field from the UMP guys out of the Midwest, and I'm sure the Florida guys. I've heard that Buzzy Ruderman and probably Greg Ruderman are coming up, and I'm going to be talking to everybody down there.
Yeah.
So it looks like we're going to get a good engine of us versus them going.
Yeah, we got a couple of promoters in the room that want to talk to you about bringing you to their track, so we'll get them in touch with you.
Well, that's a good deal. Okay. You know, I think it's going to be a great event. It's the first annual North Florida Winter Nationals, and the Snowbird 200 starts racing action on Groundhog Day and Saturday before the Super Bowl. You know, start getting your Super Bowl stuff together early in the week so you don't have to miss the races.
All right, Pete. Thanks a lot, man. We'll get back with you on this one.
Okay. Thank you very much for having me on.
All right, brother.
Bye-bye.
Have a good one.
Hey, all right,
Petey's gone.
You know, Bill, before the break, just before we go to break, because we're going to come up in about 5 minutes for break, I think we should have Bobby Deal and John Sapricone come up and talk with us a few minutes, and then we'll come back with them again, of course, after the break.
You think that's a smart thing to do?
Yeah, I think if we do it now before the break, we have time to get everything settled out.
Come on up here, John.
Come up here and take my place.
Get up here.
This is John's music. Isn't it great music?
We know you do. We played it for you, John.
I tried getting him some Sinatra.
How you doing, Mr. Sapricone?
I'm doing real good, real good.
All right. Mr. Deal, could you come up here and join us?
Come on. Here you go.
All right.
In a galaxy far, far away.
To the future.
Come on. Big round of applause for these two guys.
How about it?
Okay, they shook hands. That's a good start.
Flash bulbs going off. I mean, this is high times right here. Ladies and gentlemen, the owner of DeSoto Super Speedway, John Sapricone, and the owner of Charlotte Motorsports Park, Bobby Deal. How you guys doing tonight?
Welcome, gentlemen. Welcome.
Is that bringing in the clowns?
No, that's the next show.
All right. First thing I got to ask.
Where's the pizza?
A lot of people looking at this as, oh, my gosh, how are you guys going to do this without having, you know, some kind of, you know, boxing gloves or something going on? But who's running who out of where? Because the last time folks out there heard you guys, you weren't happy with each other at all. And they just want to know what's really going on.
Shut the music off.
I'm working on that.
Why are you running away, good. Jack?
Jack ran for it.
Go ahead, John.
Well, since the last...
opening statements, please.
Since the last time that we had a meeting, we kind of got out of each other's throats and this and that. And you know, it's like, you know, everybody's saying about the tracks going away and this and that. And I want to try to work with Charlotte. I mean, we tried to work with Leroy, and he kept changing his... you know, his things around and on us and stuff. And I think to give Bobby the deal the benefit of the doubt, I want to try to do something with the both tracks to maybe we can get people coming back and forth on Friday and Saturday nights, build car counts back, you know, all stuff like that. Right, Bob?
Yes, sir. In fact, let me set the story straight. I was never so surprised when I was working in a truck and all of a sudden I saw a DeSoto truck come on the property.
Yeah, I guess it was a little funny, but like I said, you know, hey, if we can work things out and make things happen and make it better for the racing community, which I want to do and I know he wants to do. And
there's a TV scene. I see it now. It's a commercial for both tracks, and you both are running towards
each
other.
Let's get a little serious here, though, Bill.
Slowly. And as you get to each other,
the man is sick. I'm telling you, he's demented.
He's not right.
Bringing in the clowns.
Anyway.
We're going to put him in North Florida.
It's really awesome because you guys have done the same thing that we had to do several years ago. I mean, we had to sit down and kind of go, okay, we've had our problems. Well, let's work those out and go on.
Sometimes you got to go to that extra inch or 2 inches, and you got to give and take a little bit. And, you know, it's pride, it's ego, it's everything that mixes in with this whole gamut.
Well,
and go ahead.
You know, you guys had the big blowout, our very first show, you know, doing that. And you have always said, you, Don Narone, everybody, and you've probably heard it a lot, you know, you suggest things, people come up to you, oh, you need to do this with your racetrack, you need to do that with your racetrack. And the prime answer is, buy one.
Write the check, come up to the plate, grab the bat,
somebody
grab the
finally
lawnmower,
took your advice.
And finally somebody took Don Narone's advice, my advice.
Right.
Now you're going to see it from a whole different perspective.
Right.
You're going to see it from the inside out. And Bobby will tell you, you know, what's going on, and I know he's a little taken back because there's a lot to be done. There's a lot what happens during the week and everything else, and goes to make it to that Saturday to open that gate to have those races and to be successful.
And man, Bobby, to make it to the first Saturday, you have really had to do some major cleaning and some other things you wanted to make happen to make it look nice.
Well, you know what we wanted to do was come out of the box with the right foot. It was existing and it was doing its thing. You know, it was devastated after the hurricane, and Leroy, you know, did a lot of work just to make it open, you know, and sometimes, you know, when the cobbler has the worst kids' shoes in the whole area, you know, and I think getting the track back open was a big thing, but it was like, they're still numb down there, and it's amazing, the first time we had this work day 2 weeks ago, all of a sudden it looked like there was going to be bobcat crate wards or something. We were 9 bobcats showed up, front-end loaders, dump trucks. People were going everywhere, and I'm trying to figure out rules, which that, John, you're right, talk about a whole new world. You know, dealing with the fast trucks, that's been an evolution for 10 years. But now all of a sudden I have all these different divisions that absolutely.
And you got 2 months.
Got what?
And you had 2 months to get it.
Well, yeah, and you know, it a lot of carnage from the hurricane still there, you know, and so we really wanted to give it a good facelift and have it, you know, work right. I will say that when Leroy turned it over to me, everything worked. It wasn't like the bathrooms weren't flushing and the lights weren't working. A couple little odds and ends, but he just went through an inspection and had to fix 118 things to get them under code, because what happened in the hurricane, they said, okay, go back and fix it. We'll catch you later.
And basically 2 years later, they said, okay, what'd you fix? And all of a sudden they came in, and Charlotte County went through a metamorphosis. It was a little sleepy town that got blown away, and bureaucracy came in, and all of a sudden property went through the sky. And so all of a sudden all the zoning things that used to be able to just go out and put something in the front yard, now you got to have a code for it, and you know, you have to have permits for it. And the building inspectors down there have really clamped down. In fact, I've talked to a couple contractors that say this is the hardest place to get permits.
Before we get too far into it, though, I want to know the day you saw him drive onto the track or drive out there to see you and stuff. Talk about your relationship now with John.
Well, you know, it's funny because what a difference a day makes. You know, we have the same parallel type of goals, and that's to be successful. In order to do that in this type of an industry, you got to work together. At least you can't work against each other. I mean, it's hard enough to compete against the ball and stick type of events and all the things that go on from paintball to whatever. And to have this type of sports center, you need to do something together with people. You need not to fight each other. And so, you know, it turned out that we weren't ready to do the New Year's Eve. And so, you know, rather than try to put on a facade that we were going to do it, it was like pull the plug, make sure everybody knows. And we had quite a few people call us and want to know where to go for fireworks. Well, the idea is it's right up the street at DeSoto. They're having races and they're doing everything that we're going to do. And go up there and enjoy the night because there are fans. And whether they're DeSoto bound or Charlotte County bound, it might either be the show or their own location or how much gas they got in the car, you know. But, you know, it is a business that you got to survive first. So, you know, we have a lot of common ground, you know, between DeSoto and Charlotte have been around for a long, long, long time. It's just John and I are the new kids on the block. I guess I'm a little newer.
Well, John, you know, the first thing he did was extend the olive branch, you know, the New Year's Eve thing. He pushed people our way. You had me ask that Saturday night how many people from Charlotte were there. Quite a few people.
Yeah, we did. We had quite a bit of people up from Charlotte. And I think we pulled 300 people more than we had last year. And, you know, even if it's 100 people, it's still the heads going through the gate, eating and having a good time. And, you know, it just helps around the whole picture.
Right, and you were up there the day of the show, and you know, we promoted your show coming up.
Sure.
You helped us with ours. That's a beginning. Regardless of what has happened in the past, it's a beginning between you guys.
And how do we keep building on that too? How do we keep that
communication
going?
Communication. You got to know what the other one's doing, or wanting to know what not to do. You know, and since I don't really know what I'm doing, that's what everybody keeps telling me. Is that, you know, I need to get, you know, input and stuff like that. One of the things we don't need to do is go heads up on the same thing. We talked about bus racing. And, you know, first of all, there's not that many buses around compared to getting them all together at one place, you know, at a time. You know, two races within, you know, an hour of each other, just that doesn't make any sense.
Well, we don't know what we're doing either. So we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back, okay?
Once again, thanks for showing up. Make sure you take care of your wait staff. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're out there and you want to come visit us, 2505 East Manatee Avenue. It's not that hard. Be here every Tuesday night.
Dayton Andrews Dodge is closing out 2006
in racer-friendly
style. Dayton Andrews Dodge on the corner of 22nd Avenue and 34th Street in St. Petersburg, just off I-75, is offering great racer specials for the end-of-year savings. Buy now any new or used car, truck, or van at Dayton Andrews Dodge and tell them you heard it here on Short Track America. They'll send $500 of your racer special deal to Sprint Car driver Greg Leonard and his wife Vera for the David Leonard Foundation. Looking to help racers in need? That's your racer-friendly Dayton Andrews Dodge five-star dealership. Dayton Andrews Dodge, corner of 22nd Avenue, 34th Street North in St. Petersburg. It's the little drive that saves a lot and gives a little more. 727-321-0500, the number to call for Taylor Andrews at Dayton Andrews Dodge. Tell them Short Track America sent you.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Evergreen Development Construction Company is more than just a land clearing business. They help you from site inspection to blueprint design and construction. C.J. Carberry and the Evergreen crew guarantee your satisfaction in every aspect of site preparation and facility construction. Call Evergreen Development Construction Company in Tampa at 813-202-8008. That's 813-202-8008. Or give them a shout at 813-478-8847. Evergreen Development Construction Company, the only company you'll have to call. Evergreen.
I think they've been up. They've been Tampa.
A new concept in driver and team promotion has begun.
McAllister Sports Management and Carnac.com have combined to bring you the ultimate in motorsports marketing. Nothing beats winning, but it does nothing for you or your team if not promoted to the correct group of individuals. Together, Jack Smith and Scott McAllister have over 35 years' experience in the Florida racing industry and have developed a program to meet all your marketing needs, including custom design websites, professional and prompt press releases, audio-visual presentations and distribution, autograph cards, logo design, and media skills development. Achieve the exposure you need to catch the attention of potential sponsors and race team owners in a unique and professional style. No stale websites or cookie-cutter press releases. We analyze your needs and tailor each project and program to your specific goals. Call 352-804-0078 or log on to McAllisterSportsManagement.com or Carnac.com for more information.
Welcome back to Real Racing USA. We are live, Snook River Grill. I want to thank Scott McAllister for adding those extra words of wisdom to our sponsor spots during that break.
Say anything bad, did I?
No, you just had your mic on, sure. But that's okay.
No, you didn't say anything bad.
I was thinking bad things, but I didn't say them.
So we are sitting here with John Supercone and Bobby Deal. Ladies and gentlemen across the country, you now know that the war is not so on as you thought, and that's good. Guys, what have you worked out in the last 30 days or whatever it's been?
Well, you know, it's funny because, John, how long ago did you buy DeSoto?
7 years. It's going to be my seventh year.
Yeah. Well, 7 years ago, you know, we ended up running into our first disagreement, and it was over trucks. And so it just kind of is a little bit fitting that we start out working together over trucks. So we've come up with a program that will make, I think, a lot of sense with the idea of building truck count, building fan base, and supporting, you know, what we love, which is racing.
Well, let me say one thing. You know, I've learned a lot from Don DeRone. He's like my mentor, and, you know, he's always said that we'd work together and try to, everybody try to get along and this and that. And he's always said, whatever you guys can do and get along with and agree to, he will. And anything he has done for us or me, in fact, in this racing, it's been incredible. And I just want to bring that, make that point across, because he does have a lot of the answers, and he does help us. And I just wanted to thank him for that.
Bill, what are you doing?
I didn't do anything.
Go ahead.
That's Don.
He's in the room.
He's here.
He's magnetic.
But
where is it?
No, I mean, you know, it's you know, if we could never get Leroy to come on the same page with us, and everybody says, well, Don doesn't want to work with people, John doesn't want to work with people. I'm here to do one thing, is to run a business, to be successful, and to make my track, and help. I can help other people with their racetracks, their cars, their fans, anything I can do to help. To a point, I will be there as long as you help me.
So what is the news with the trucks?
Well, I suggested to Bobby that we need to do something between the two tracks to bring people, cars back and forth. And I suggested to him that I would like to do a 20-race series, 10 races at DeSoto, 10 races at Charlotte. Any tires, okay, it's a $50 entry fee. We'll pay $750 to win. And my dates won't conflict. I'm trying to stay off of fast car stuff. I think there's only two dates conflicting. And we're going to try to work this out together to get these cars to come back, these trucks to come back and forth, bring these fans together, and, you know, and try to make this whole thing work out. And I think, you know, Bobby's, I want him to make money because I don't want him to close the doors. It's going to be a hard road, but if we can have 30 trucks, 35 trucks at DeSoto, have 30, 35 trucks at Charlotte, I mean, what better can you have? We got a West Coast series. Maybe we can do a north-south shootout with the fast car series. Who knows what can come out of this? But if we take the first step and put it all together and make it work, I think it's endless.
Is this a combined points fund type deal?
What we're going to do is obviously the fast trucks will be a separate entity. Just like John will have his own truck division there, but we're going to have a challenge. Similar to what we're doing with the late model type of thing down here at Charlotte County, but we're going to have an actual challenge. 10 races there, 10 races. Well, go ahead, John. You got all the numbers.
Well, 10 races at our track, 10 races at Charlotte. And then we're going to guarantee $2,000 to the winner, depending on how many trucks we have in the series. That's going to determine the tires, the fuel, and everything else that the both tracks make. We will be paying, I hope to pay like at least $500 for 10th spot.
That's a good deal right there.
This whole thing. So we're going to really work hard at it and try to get the trucks and make this thing really work.
So after the last few years, I mean, the trucks have been the stumbling point in Florida stock car racing. Do you agree?
Well, I don't know if it's
You know what I mean, though.
There's been hiccups,
walls built, and now they're starting to crumble.
Well, exactly.
Tear down the wall.
Tear down that wall.
The nice thing is, and what I told John today was, you know, I've got people that don't want to race at Charlotte every week. They came there to tour, and, you know, we're up at Citrus and we're over in Ocala, and, you know, DeSoto's a fourth venue, and this way my guys that want to run for both divisions, they can. I'm not going to say that, well, in fact, the fast trucks will race at Charlotte, Citrus, and Ocala, but the guys that want to run for the dual championship can run both.
And plus, I'm going to do my track with my regular guys. If you want to run all the races, you can run for two championships. You can run for the challenge, and then you can run for the DeSoto Speedway Championship Pro Trucks.
These guys are first in line for the Rodney King Award. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
Can we just,
what happened?
You know what happened? It's called profit, my friend. It's called profit.
Yeah, but I see our show going to the crapper.
I know it.
Jack, you were right. We may be the most powerful men in racing.
I'm telling you.
You guys are super men. We appreciate what you're doing, taking time to get together and work together. So how about a little Superman music in the background? I figured that was appropriate.
Where the hell did that come from? Okay, turn that back.
It came way out of the library. Come on, at least I found it.
What other things do we have in store for Charlotte County and DeSoto Speedway?
Well, you know, one of the things we talked about were the buses. And you know, we have, let's face it, pretty much every one of the divisions we have somewhat are related one way or another. We're going to do some real interesting things at Charlotte County because I'm even wanting to bring in a Friday night program. And, you know, with that gives more opportunity for the divisions that may have been sitting on the sidelines to have a place to come out and develop. And first thing John said, well, you know what, maybe if we had two places for them to run, there'd be a reason to build them. You know, if you build them, they'll come.
Do you know, this is fascinating because, you know, not only should tracks like racetracks in Florida should not just get along. They should do this kind of thing, which is like actually put stuff together and like put stuff in a positive mode, not just get along.
Are we hoping really and truly that this is kind of a precedence that we prove to all the others that it can work?
I think it can work 110. I'd bet anything on it. It can work if the cards are on the table and they're not changed under the table. And if it's miscommunication and something happens, and I'm going to tell you right now, it happens. I mean, I'll put a race on Don, he'll call me up, and I'll say, you know, I didn't even realize that. And sometimes I don't check the schedule. You know, I just go, yeah, it's okay, put it on there, let's go. And we have a mistake. And he can accept that. And same way with me, I can accept it. I'm not looking to say, well, he's throwing a knife in my back and turning it, because I know I can call him at any time and get the answers that I need.
I know.
Are you feeling that way with Bobby right now?
Well, yes. You know, but I got to see the cards on the table. I'm not holding back anything. If it's an ace, it's an ace. If it's a king, it's a king.
What about you, Bobby? Are you treading lightly, or are you feeling good about this?
Full throttle.
Full throttle. Yeah. Pedal to the metal.
Well, you know, there's just this is a new dawn, and we need to make sure that we don't do anything that would compromise the situation on either one, because all it's going to do is hurt both. And let's face it, it's the fans and the racers. If we don't have those, we don't have each other, which, I mean, as far as the tracks, and that's what it's about.
Well, one thing that I've heard you say repeatedly in the last couple of weeks is it's not about me.
Well, that's true.
It's about the racers and so forth. And we have some of those people here with us tonight. We have Randy Fox and some of the backbone drivers, as you like to call them. And what we're going to do is let you guys go, and we're going to bring some of those guys up. Bobby, you can hang around. We want to bring some of those guys up and see what their
before you
input
walk away,
is.
We want to thank you, number one, for coming and sitting down with us and giving us the opportunity to let everybody else know that it can work, it can be done. It takes a little bit of communication and so forth to make it happen. And also, we'll look forward to, you know, keeping everybody aware of what's happening at DeSoto, Charlotte, and the combination of these tracks and the racers that go both places. We'll get to know everything that's happening.
Well, I just want to say one thing, too, and it's from my heart. And, you know, everybody out there has to support these local tracks. I says if we don't do this, it's going to be a demise. It's people are moving into the areas. We need to keep, you know, go to New Smyrna, go to Orlando, go to Citrus, go to Ocala, come to DeSoto, go to Charlotte. I mean, you know, if you get a chance to go, just go, you know, and enjoy yourself. And tell another person, so this way you can, you know, you bring one person one week and then you can bring two people the other week.
Let's touch on that real quick, and that is the fact that we talked tonight about Atomic Speedway, one of the best-known speedways in Tennessee, getting eaten up by the local community and becomes a trucking center or whatever. Those kind of things can happen here. We could lose three tracks in a number of years, boom, 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 with Auburndale Speedway being under mismanagement, so to speak, and it looking for a new home or a new person to run it. Charlotte County, your lease actually does come up at the end of September of 2008. Anything could happen between now and then when it comes to somebody coming in and going, hey, this is worth $5 million, we'll pay it, that kind of thing. Houses are building all around DeSoto. We've talked about that before. How can we stop the erosion of those tracks getting lost in the system and not people paying enough attention to help keep them alive?
Well, you got to keep promoting it and advertising. And promotion is the biggest thing that you need to do. And we need to have to get the new people in here, because you got the new age of people that these people that 20 years ago were at going into the races. They're not coming that much anymore. You got to introduce this sport to the younger kids. And that's where the uncles, the grandmothers, the fathers, the sons, the brothers, the aunts, the uncles, and everybody will come.
Your answer to that question about losing tracks?
Well, exactly. I mean, the biggest thing that I see is, and the thing we're looking at doing is you're going to have to go to multi-night, or at least have a value that is as worth as whatever current market value is. That's a term that's kind of elusive and vague. But, you know, the property or the prices of property are just skyrocketing. So, I mean, in fact, I haven't been by DeSoto in probably a year or so, and as I drove up, I stopped by on the Eve of Destruction. I said, you don't have long here.
You see all that road they're building?
Oh, my Lord. I mean, are they building that for you?
That's for me. Yes, that's right.
Yeah, John ordered that one.
Yeah. Well, on the phone with us right now, he's calling us from North Carolina, former Charlotte County racer, Brian Beckner. Brian, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing really good. How y'all doing down there?
All right, man. You're listening over the Internet. How we sound?
It's not too bad. It's just a little, it's breaking up a little bit on me. I think it may be my mom's computer, though, but we'll get it straightened out.
So what do you think of the show so far, man?
I think it's great. My brother's been telling me about it. I'm sure everybody knows Jason Beckner. He's the new announcer down there at Charlotte County, and I've heard he's doing a really good job down there. I love the show. It's a good thing. You know, you gotta get on the air and put it out there.
All right, Brian. Thanks for calling in, brother.
Hey, thanks a lot. I just wanted to say, as far as the tracks working together, I think that's great. We've got some tracks up here that don't work together very well, and if y'all can get that to work and get everybody on the same page and, you know, like I said, show the rest of the world that it can work, more power to you, because, I mean, that's one of the reasons why I'm up here. Things weren't going too good down there several years back, so I'm glad to hear Mr. Deal's in charge, and look forward to coming back down there next year for the New Year's show again.
You going to move back this way now?
I don't know. I've got some real good things going for me up here right now. I've been racing several different racetracks up here. Greenville Pickens, Anderson Speedway, Lanier National. I just won two championships last year in a Renegade division between Lanier and Anderson Speedway. So I've got some people looking at me. I've got a lot of help. I've met a lot of great people up this way. So it's really exciting up here. But I'm always willing to make that drive back down there to go racing. You know, wherever there's a race, I'll be there.
So. All right, down.
Your brother's saying shut you off because he's the announcer. You're talking too much.
Yeah, I might put him out of a job. He keeps trying to get me on the radio like this. He might be in trouble, but no, I couldn't do that. I'm the driver. He's the talker. So.
All right, man. Thanks a bunch, though.
Hey, appreciate you having me on, and you guys keep it up. I'll be in touch.
Thanks a bunch. All right, man. How was that? They just calling in.
Calling from North Carolina.
Once again, thanks, guys.
Hey,
we
got to make a real quick announcement.
Go for it.
Now, what's going to happen here? The first two races of the challenge will be February 24th. And that'll be at Charlotte County Speedway for the trucks. And the second challenge.
Where was it? Where's it going to be?
Charlotte County Motorsports Park.
You
yeah, yeah.
Can't get on me anymore.
Yeah.
The owner said that.
Yeah. Well, it takes a while. Let me tell you, I'm pretty tired. But the second race for the challenge will be at DeSoto the next day at the Icebreaker.
What's the name of DeSoto?
DeSoto Super Speedway.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, you know, like I said, you know, any of the track promoters or the track owners, they need to pick up the phone and call and talk. Like we talked to Don, Mike Cope, and Billy Martino. We're always talking. We're always, you know, calling one another and talking to each other. And that's one thing that breaks the ice and gets you working together with people.
Yeah, well, did you guys get Bobby the shirt yet?
No, I didn't.
The track owner's shirt? Hey. Did you get your membership card
yet? The club.
Real Racing USA, you're on the air. Real Racing USA.
Hey, I called the wrong number.
You did? What do you want, a pizza?
Yeah, I want to get a pizza. You got extra large, then?
Okay, guys, I'm glad you're getting a pizza. Go find one.
That was Brian calling back.
Or was it? That's figures.
All right, you guys. Thanks a lot, John. Hey. I know you got to go somewhere. You got something to do tonight. Appreciate you. Banquet Saturday night.
Oh, I'll tell you what. I can't wait.
Got my tux ready.
Yeah, you got it, huh?
Well, yeah.
We're going to take some pictures and put it on the internet.
There you go.
400 people sold out.
There you go.
Last answer you can get before you go. How's wife doing? How's the
shoulder?
She's
doing great. She's really coming along with her arm and, you know, working on that. And
she'll be dressed up Saturday night?
Oh, yeah, of course.
She's always dressed to the nines. Right?
Okay. What can I say?
All right, Bill, let's take a break right here at the bottom of the hour. Bobby, stick around. We're gonna keep you here. And we'll be right back with Real Racing USA.
Well, we may be here for a second or two while I get myself straightened up.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Dayton Andrews Dodge is closing out 2006 in racer-friendly style. Dayton Andrews Dodge on the corner of 22nd Avenue and 34th Street in St. Petersburg, just off I-75, is offering great racer specials for the end-of-year savings. Buy now any new or used car, truck, or van at Dayton Andrews Dodge and tell them you heard it here on Short Track America. They'll send $500 of your racer special deal to Sprint Car driver Greg Leonard and his wife Vera for the David Leonard Foundation. Looking to help racers in need? That's your racer-friendly Dayton Andrews Dodge 5-star dealership. Dayton Andrews Dodge, corner of 22nd Avenue, 34th Street North in St. Petersburg. It's the little drive that saves a lot and gives a little more. 727-321-0500, the number to call for Taylor Andrews at Dayton Andrews Dodge. Tell them Short Track America sent you.
Evergreen Development Construction Company is more than just a land clearing business. They help you from site inspection to blueprint design and construction. C.J. Carberry and the Evergreen crew guarantee your satisfaction in every aspect of site preparation and facility construction. Call Evergreen Development Construction Company in Tampa at 813-202-8008. That's 813-202-8008. Or give them a shout at 813-478-8847. Evergreen Development and Construction Company, the only company you'll have to call. Evergreen.
A new concept in driver and team promotion has begun.
McAllister Sports Management and Carnac.com have combined to bring you the ultimate in motorsports marketing. Nothing beats winning, but it does nothing for you or your team if not promoted to the correct group of individuals. Together, Jack Smith and Scott McAllister have over 35 years' experience in the Florida racing industry and have developed a program to meet all your marketing needs, including custom design websites, professional and prompt press releases, audio-visual presentations and distribution, autograph cards, logo design, and media skills development. Achieve the exposure you need to catch the attention of potential sponsors and race team owners in a unique and professional style. No stale websites or cookie-cutter press releases. We analyze your needs and tailor each project and program to your specific goals. Call 352-804-0078 or log on to McAllisterSportsManagement.com or Carnac.com for more information.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Real Racing USA at the Snook River Grill. We are now going to have the opportunity to get joined by a couple of local racers. And, of course, Randy Fox has got his name written on him. God, if I could remember anything but Bonehead. So, Rob Elting. Sorry, Rob. It's just my way of trying to be friendly. Turn your mics on, guys. Cram on up, and let's talk about racing at Charlotte County Motorsports Park. I want to, first off, you guys have been around long enough down that way and around Central Florida that you can give me a pretty good opinion of what you think is happening at Charlotte County Motorsports Park, from the changeover from Leroy to, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly along the way from getting there to here. What do you see in the future, Randy?
Well, you know, it all looks good down there. You know, sometimes change is good. Clean, you know, a new broom sweeps clean, so... I don't know. You know, he's been doing a lot of cleaning up and got a lot of good ideas. And, you know, just, you know, them sitting down together tonight, hey, that goes a long ways in racing, short track racing.
Now, you strike
late model guys.
Now, I haven't talked to you an awful lot, but I've seen a lot of what you do in racing. And I know that you're very reserved about things. You kind of wait, see what happens. That's usually your approach. And I imagine that's kind of like what you're thinking here, maybe?
Well, you know, it's just like building new cars. You know, a lot of guys they'll come up with a new traveling series or something. They want to, you know, we're going to do this, going to do that. So I usually sit out a year and see what, you know, before you go put 50 grand into something that is going to have six cars at it or something. And then it goes by the wayside. So I usually stick with pretty much what I know.
Randy, you got a lot of years in Florida short track racing. This is kind of a first between Charlotte County and DeSoto. Really working together, what it looks like right now.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's great. It's always easy for everybody to say, well, the two tracks should work together. The only stumbling block you got there is you got one Saturday night. So, you know, maybe if they rotate in and out one, you know, but it's kind of hard to set your schedule as a racer. You're going to race at Charlotte County Motorsports Park on this Saturday night and then DeSoto Speedway, that, you know, the Saturday following that or something. But, I mean, you know, all those details can be worked out between those guys. And they made a big step in just talking to each other. And you know, really, it looks like that maybe, honestly, they are looking to help each other. So, I mean, it's you don't find that very much in short track race promoting, not in the same geography area. So.
Now, we've seen a lot of talking. Talking behind
doors.
I've
seen a lot of that before.
I've heard this, and I heard this guy say this. This is the first time that you've actually seen the two sit down publicly, and it's out there.
Right. I agree with that. You can go to DeSoto and talk to John, and he's liable to, you know, he'll say, yeah, we'll work together, and you see Bobby, and he'll say we work together, but then it don't ever happen.
Rob, I want to ask you kind of the same questions. You've been around down there long enough. What's your view of the new CCMP and what's happening?
All I can say about it is that I know Bobby for years, you know, and when we started out racing back in go-karts years ago after he got out of his Camel GT days, and as we evolved into racing cars, he went his truck way and I went my way to follow Randy and the rest of these late model gods around here trying to figure out how to race back then. And, you know, over the years you see what Bobby's done with the truck series. You know, truck series started out with three different truck series that I think they had five trucks each. Maybe Bobby might have had 10. And then turned that series into what it is today. And for me, and I know for Randy too, being that we're getting a little bit older, the future of racing, I think, shows in what Bobby's been doing and bringing the kids and having something for them to do that keeps them out of trouble, you know, and stuff like that. I am new to Charlotte County. I'm from the Tampa area, and Hurricane Charlie blew me in here to help rebuild the county, and I spent, you know, 2.5 years down here doing construction and learned many ways of how to rebuild, and the racetrack falls in that same line, you know, because of the complacency that's gone on there with Leroy, the fans, and the Backbone Racers, as well as other racers, you know. I really had hated to see it because I had raced at Charlotte for, you know, many years, you know, and my racing, I've had to lay off of it the last few years because of working down here. But I'm bringing my stuff back. I will be back racing my late model here and supporting. I will support John's stuff too, you know. I'm proud of the two guys that they can actually sit here and try to work something out, because in my days of racing with Bert Ashelman in the Florida Pro Series, that's where I really met Randy and traveled around and got to race at a lot of racetracks. And those guys couldn't get anything together on the same page back then. And, to you know, John got in the middle of it, and he was just as bad as them for a little while. And to see just in the South these two racetracks pull together and make a series that will run between the both of them and even add another night of racing in Florida, it's unheard of to race two nights a week, you know, and another track's up north, they race five nights a week till it starts snowing.
Right. Yeah. Well, we lost Hialeah last year. Yeah. And to put these two together is a big accomplishment.
I mean, it's amazing. It's you know, it's something that people have talked about for probably 10 years, you know. And
well, since they were both built, yeah, right, for sure. You know, I mean, and that's the way it's been.
And the horror.
I would probably race two nights a week if they would let me. So.
There you go. This could be a whole new beginning, Bobby.
The thing to think about, though, is the horror for the Southern Florida racer, the race fan, and everybody else if the two tracks did go away. You'd have to go all the way to I-4 somewhere across the state to be able to find a racetrack to go race at or go see something. So it's just like do or die. We got to save them now or we're going to be way too late.
And you're right. You know, and that's like I really don't like to get involved with the politics of racing. I like to just go race. But, you know, if people don't step up and get behind the local short tracks and stay involved with them somewhat, I mean, they are going to go by the wayside.
It's going to go away.
It's going to go away. Then what are you going to do? I mean, it's not bad enough that Charlotte County, you think it's going to close, and you go, well, I got to drive all the way to DeSoto. Well, now, if that goes by the wayside, where are you going to go? Inverness? I mean, you know.
Yeah, Orlando.
Orlando, New Smyrna. I mean, you know, all of a sudden it's 300 miles.
Yeah. And before long, we'll be going to Georgia.
Yeah.
I started to say 20,020, and you're going, yeah, my local track is Lake City.
Yeah.
You know?
So. Yeah, they won't let you build a new one, so.
Yeah. That's
not going to happen.
What are you guys looking for in 2007, Randy? What kind of thing? You got any new chassis?
I got a new crate late model car there. We just about got done. Well, I won't say we about got done, but it's on the way, but. You know, I don't know. Every time we want to work on it, it seems like we go racing somewhere. So we're going to race at Charlotte County Motorsports Park. I guess that's
buy a big enough hauler you can take the one that you're working on.
I done been through all that. So. Yeah, and Don Nerone put me through all that. I'm good on that. So you know, I wouldn't if they ran a 20 race deal between the two. I know they're talking about the trucks. If they did something with the late models, and you know, the biggest thing I think Bobby's done is tried to even the rules out. And to accommodate all the late models, because there's a lot of different super late models that, you know, you can add a little weight to and run with our cars, because they're, you know, they're pretty close nowadays.
Oh, so. And we've definitely seen the late model counts drop.
Right, exactly. It's so expensive to do. So, you know, hey, if you got 8 or 10 down here and you got 8 or 10 up there, you know, now you got 16 or, you know, a couple more super guys get in that really don't want to spend $250,000 a year racing, they can come race with us. So,
exactly,
you
know, exactly.
I think it's going to be great to see a late model class really come back. You know, to where you get 30 cars show up.
How long's it been?
It's been a long time. Since they had a wall in the center of this racetrack, you know.
Yeah.
That's the times I remember.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it wasn't nothing to have a 24, 26 car field down there. I mean, at the Brian Davidson race.
Night,
yeah,
50 laps.
Right, yeah, really. I mean, in the Brian Davidson race, the first one I went to, he had like 63 cars.
But he wouldn't run one more than 26.
Oh, like 24 is hard. Oh, yeah.
He wasn't going to pay any more.
Yeah. So, you know, those days are long gone. I mean, you know, and it's going to take some adjusting. in the rules to get everybody to, you know, hey, you need to get what's out there and bring them to the racetrack.
But Scott, you saw the late model series peak. I mean, you were part of the Sarah series when it was peaking.
Yeah, it's really a shame because I was talking to Randy and I've talked to Gene Kelly and Jerry Simons and all those guys over in New Smyrna. Those days are gone, you know, and it's kind of hard to let go because you keep on thinking, oh, wait, next year certainly somebody's going to come along and something's going to happen. It's over. And luckily, here in Florida, if you're a racer or a race fan, you do have people like John Sepperkone and Bobby Deal that have taken. I mean, you talk about a rough business. It is literally a rough business.
No doubt.
The owner takes every bit of the responsibility and every bit of the headache that goes along with that. So, and then, you know, you have people yelling at you, and sometimes I can see where they go, look, you know, it's kind of like being an umpire at a kid's baseball game. It's like, I don't need this that bad. So I think it's good that these guys can work together. But, yeah, those days of the Sarah series when we used to cuss Rick Day, and now I wish, oh, well, she'd come back. Let's make her so
hey,
good.
Wait till our first Monday night open to the vault. I got a May 20th of 2000 interview with Rick Day. He's talking about Auburndale Speedway.
There you
65
go.
65 race cars in the pits getting ready to go racing the next day.
But, you know, it's you know, with the – when you saw Hialeah close, you know, that was really a sign for everybody to kind of wake up. It's like, look, this track has been here. It's got all the history. Randy's run down there. I don't know how many years. And to see that go away, part of that's Randy. I mean, part of that is everybody that's ever run there is gone now forever. And
forever.
He's not coming back. And it's the same way with the series racing. It's really, really tough. It's not that it's gone away forever. It's just it's hard. And if you don't think it's hard, as I heard John Sepperkone, you don't think it's hard? Go buy a track, my friend,
no doubt.
Come back, and then talk to me about it, because it is hard. I've seen him out there snaking the doggone, toilet out there. I've seen him collect tickets. I've seen him work in the, food part. I've seen him do everything out there.
I've heard him announce.
And it's hurting him now. I've seen him do every single bit of it, and it's just hard. And, it's something that it's good to see that there are people willing to step up and put themselves on the lines, as these drivers do. I mean, these drivers come out, they're putting their money, their time, and it's the time. You know, money is in this business, is really just a tool. I mean, let's face it, it's a tool to get to what you really want to do. But it's the time that you never get back, and that's what these guys are putting into it. But like I said, whether it be Rob or Bobby or John or anybody, it's the time that you put into it. When it's gone, it's gone.
Randy, before you and Rob get up and give us some room for a lot of these other folks that are here, let's talk about your sponsor for 2007. Who's going to help you out in 2007?
Well, mainly my biggest sponsor now is the engine guy, Jam Engines. Jack does all my engines now they just come along with this crate late model deal, and for the first time in my life, my engines are free, So here comes the crate late model deal down the pike,
People lined up in his office tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So,
I know I'm going to be...
I got a lot of new best. I got a new lot of best friends.
Old engine sponsor on mine.
Just give me the old engine.
And then I have some local guys that help me. Abaco Aluminum, Carl. There, they give me a lot of stuff. So that's okay.
What about you, Rob?
I don't know yet. I've got plenty of contracting subcontractors and stuff that would be glad to help me out. But I've been kind of stressing all them to try to help us at the racetrack, as much as possible. But I'm not worried about it. I'll find a sponsor when I get down here. That's the thing, is getting all the stuff moved down here and getting the car back going. But first, I've got to watch this race on Sunday, and I've got to see just exactly what's going to happen with all the motors and the weight and all that. I mean, you talk about, that's one of the things that Bobby's been having to go through and getting this racetrack. How many calls have you had this week about, what are your late model rules going to be? What's this? What's that? Only three. How many cars you got entered right now?
Oh. 30.
And he's gonna put a list up on the internet for us, because people like to know that stuff. They like to know when they can come see, Rob Elting or a Randy Fox.
That sounds good to me or not.
Whoever.
I heard Wayne Anderson's coming, Dickie Anderson. I said, picking the competition
well,
up.
Wouldn't
a little
it be
not
nice.
Like you ain't rubbed fenders with them before.
I mean, not either, but hey, that makes you better. Yeah, hey.
Johnny K. There
I got
you
an
go.
Extra strong hood.
Really.
At least I can laugh about it.
Johnny K's danced on your hood, didn't he?
We had a little dance.
Let's step out there and ask one of the fans, race fans, calling in. We got the Big Dog calling in. Big Dog, what's up, man?
Jackie boy.
You
Jack, he wants to talk to you.
Oh, Jack?
You in, Jack?
No, Jack. Jack was. We got so many people around the table. Jack was across the room.
Jack's not here.
Well,
yeah, really.
Did he get that thing cut off the back of his head yet?
I have no idea what you're talking about, man.
Yeah, unless you start talking about what we're talking about here, I don't understand why you're calling us. What's up?
Jeez.
No, never mind.
Never mind.
Right,
have a nice day.
Jack, why does your brother call Jack all
Damn,
the time?
Jack. Wow.
You tell that guy to call?
Is he medicated or what?
I want to talk to Jack.
Wow. I tell you, we got some other drivers here with us.
Okay.
Thanks,
quick.
Randy.
Randy.
Thanks, Rob.
Yeah, Rob, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us. We'll sit here and listen.
Yeah, y'all hang here. I mean, it's like you said.
Watch out now. You're fixing to twist each other up. I can tell.
That's all right. Here with us, Donnie Ollie Jr. Jr. here, obviously, and Les Couch. Donnie's in the 09 Road Warrior class down at Charlotte County, and Les Couch is in the JYD.
Junkyard Dogs.
Speaking of my main man, Gordon Solo, he's in the JYD.
The JYD.
Yeah, Junkyard Dogs. Tell us, first of all, see, I get confused anymore. I started getting confused, a long time ago. When first it was Lates, then it was Super Lates, then it was
Pro Lates.
Yeah, I've given up. So tell me the difference. Road Warrior and JYDs. Tell me the difference.
The Road Warrior, it's a metric rear-wheel drive car, and the JYDs are front-wheel drive, four cylinders, most of them.
Okay, all right, there we go. So that's the difference. Les, obviously, like I said, you drive the number 33 JYD down in Charlotte Motor County. Happy to see Bobby and obviously some of the changes that have come along there. How do you feel about it?
I feel real good about it. A few Saturdays ago, everybody came in and was working. But I seen all those guys there working so hard.
Yeah,
so many people working to make that a better place to race. It was fantastic.
And that's one of the
things
I've noticed.
I think everybody's positive about it. I feel real good about it.
That's one of the things I've noticed. It looks like the community involvement for the racing community, so to speak, is going to be one of the deals that makes or breaks you in this kind of a situation, to where you can get those people to come out and be part of the program that helps make it better. Then they have something invested. They want to come back and they want to keep it nice. You'll be there on a Saturday night and see somebody throw a can down. You go, hey, don't do that. Pick that thing up. I may have to be picking that up tomorrow if I'm not here.
Exactly. Yeah. Would you do it one time is all it takes, my friend. And it's like, hey, you know.
So I think that kind of an investment in the local racetrack is one of the best things you can have going. And that's one of the things that Bobby does so well is he rallies the troops and goes, hey, make it happen, you know, and off it goes.
Yeah, he does. He makes you feel like it's your house, you know, and that's important, you know, because all we want is a place to race, but, you know, it is. It's our house. It's where we go. We love to do it, you know.
I tip my hat to these guys. Like I say, I grew up watching Randy and like I said, Johnny K and all them, and I've seen some of the stuff. But these guys here, the Road Warriors and JYDs, like you said, when you talk about community coming out, these guys are the community. Once again, it's like you said, they come up there, they race every Saturday.
Oh, that's
night.
It. I used to get so irritated at East Bay sometimes because they had 65 street stocks in the pits, but they would only run them like 15 laps.
Right. Well, that's like our bomber class in DeSoto.
They're the guys supporting the track.
It's a whole community. I mean, these guys are out there every weekend racing.
Right. It's like a whole subculture.
Oh, yeah.
Almost.
Oh, yeah,
it's
no
like,
doubt.
Yeah. And it, which is really good. Like I say, it's really cool because, you know, when they do that, it brings the best out of both classes, I think. You see a lot of variety, which is what these tracks are got to do. They got to come up with.
Oh, no doubt.
Did I miss an explanation of a Road Warrior? What exactly is that?
Road Warrior metric chassis, right?
Yeah, most of them are now. Yeah. They used to be the big, you know, 116-inch wheelbase cars, and now most of them are the smaller metrics.
There you go. Yeah, so.
And what's a JYD?
JYD is.
That crazy guy called me.
Four-cylinder front-wheel drive chassis
four challenge bangers.
Cars.
Donnie, how long have you been running out there in the Road Warrior class?
This was my first year.
Last year?
Yep.
How'd you do?
Tell me
you destroyed some stuff. Come on.
I tore it up a couple of
times. There you go.
We ended up winning the championship the second season and finished second the first season. So all in all, it was good.
Tell me about your learning experience in
that
series.
Thanks a lot, John.
And what you expect to do for next year.
The learning curve has been huge.
Yeah.
Just to be out there and watch the other guys in front of you and follow them around, and you just learn so much. Every time I go out on the track, I learn something. Little or big, it all adds up.
It's amazing how much you can take in during a race. It's like, I'm racing. Oh, yeah, by the way, look at what that guy's doing over there. Yeah,
and the whole way home from the racetrack, you're thinking of every little thing that you notice throughout the race.
Have you ever caught yourself kind of looking outside the track to see something? Or anything happening outside the track?
I bet not. You kind of looking straight.
I'm just checking to see how much focused you were there for a second.
Stay focused.
Race over the hood of that car, but
no drafting down the interstate.
No.
Right. Sure.
One of the hardest things I see for the younger classes or the beginner classes or those kind of classes that are not so expensive is they, a lot of them have never learned all the rules, so to speak, of the road. What the flags even mean sometimes will get them out several times and stuff like that. So it's really nice that, like, you've been there a year, you see a new guy come along, you kind of notice he's making a mistake or something, you go down and you talk to him. And that's one of the nice things about local racing at all, at every track, is that you kind of help the guys out. Because, number one, he's going to be in your way when he's going way too slow, so you kind of speed him up, get him out of the way. And then you want to make sure that they do it right and don't take you out as they make a big move.
So the main thing is, for those guys, I think that they, once again, they bring that with them. You got to have fun. I mean, that's what you guys are there to do, is to have fun. Right. You know, it's obviously you're not there to make a whole bunch of money. You know, so that's, it's probably not it. It's to have fun. And like I say, when you bring that, people in the stands, you know, they can feel that, and they can feel that energy, and that's what they come for. And then, like I say, you have the guys like Rob and Randy that come out there. So it's kind of like a whole different type of scenario, and you have to have that, because if not, they don't come out there to just watch the JYDs run or the Road Warriors. They come out to see a full show, you know, and it has to be a show is really what it comes down
to. Whenever you're not racing, do you walk up to the fence and watch the Randy Foxes and the,
oh yeah,
the
oh
late
yeah.
models
you can
and so
learn just as much sitting on
Who's
that
your favorite
fence?
Driver in a late model class at Charlotte? And don't say it just because he's sitting there.
Now, I really enjoyed watching him and Mike Franklin get down there.
There you go, brother. Yeah, hey, tier four.
Hollywood.
Yeah, what?
Hollywood.
Yeah, that's what you'll see a lot of people doing. They go over there and look at what Randy's doing. I remember they used to just put a rag over their car. What's underneath there? Nothing. There's nothing. They're not doing anything. But they just put something over there.
That's
you
right.
be looking.
I told you about my dad and the coil. He put a wire with a little light on the end at the top of his coil.
That's right.
So when he started the car, the light came on. Everybody's like, what is that?
Yeah.
What is that? You got to find out what it is. I want one of those.
Yeah. I remember when Will Cagle told me about the no passing bar he had in the car. I said, what do you mean a no passing bar? He said, well, I had this bar, and I welded it in and put a hinge on it. I said, well, what was it connected to? He goes, the water tank in the back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a Buzzy Rudiman and Wayne Cagle days. But, well, guys, it's good to see y'all out. And, let's real quick, and Donnie, let's real quick, your plans for next year, some of your sponsors.
Right now we have a sponsor we just picked up is Jerry's Auto Body. He's right now we're redoing the whole car. We're reskinning it and everything. You kind of bump a little bit in that class. So we're redoing
just
it
a little
and painting
bit.
Her up and getting her fixed up. We're doing them with a different color.
Good deal.
I plan on doing pretty good. We got second point champion last year, and we plan on trying to.
So when you come to the track, Les, who do you bring with you? Who comes to the track? Is it family affair? You bring your neighbors, your friends?
My wife comes to every race, but I got a buddy of mine that comes with me. Mike Graves tows my car over there for me and stuff. The guy that actually sold me the car, I pit beside him. Low Dollar Racing, Mike Loney and the guys. I pit beside them. He's kind of took me under his wing and helped me out a whole bunch this last year. Like Donnie was saying, it's been a learning
experience. A learning curve, yeah.
You were talking about flags earlier. I did get the move on the red flag thing. I had a flat tire, went around three times. There was a wreck. I said, oh, I can go to the pits now.
Oh, you can go to the pits, all right. You just can't come back out.
Yeah.
Sorry, this isn't NASCAR.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, you pick up people like Jerry's, and once again, it's easy to get. Once you get those potential sponsors out of the track, they're sold, you know, and that's all it really takes. It's getting them out to the track. So that's the main thing I usually try to tell the people that I work with.
Unfortunately, their 8 minutes of fame is...
It's over. Well, it's guys. Over. Oh, no, real quick, Donnie, sponsors and next year.
We're going to stick with the Road Warriors again. It's a fun class and got a couple good sponsors, Royal Floridian Transportation, Barefoot Graphics, and Centeno's Transmissions. Without their help, we couldn't do it.
Day four. Donnie knows how to do it, man. He knows how to do it, see? I'm serious. Practice in front of the mirror. It looks stupid, but practice. And he's been doing it. You can tell. Sounds really good, guys. Thanks for stopping.
As people start to straggle out of the Snook River Grill, we want to thank everybody for coming by tonight. And they, some of them got to get home. They got to actually go to work tomorrow. I don't know what they have a job for when they're in racing.
Look at this,
man. Fun to race.
The three biggest mouths in the state of Florida right here at one table.
We
probably yelled at more over more microphones.
I've had people at Sunshine Speedway. People ran up out of the pits to the fence when he went on the microphone
for the
Sarah series.
This is my mentor.
Are you guys having WWF tonight? What is the deal?
My mentor, man.
It was amazing.
You'd have been proud of New Year's Eve, brother.
People used to say, "God, you're such a good announcer." I said, "I just scream, dude. There's no announcing. I just scream." But really, those were fun times.
Who we got joining us now, guys? Like, I don't know half of them.
Well, go ahead, introduce him.
No, Jason out of Charlotte County.
Sands.
Well, it looks kind of funny me sitting up here in overalls, and I got a guy here in a suit. You know,
I just realized something.
Oh, the fourth biggest mouth in the state of Florida.
We got more announcers in this room tonight, actually, than we had people who owned race cars or raced them.
Holy shit. We should all sit here and sing Kumbaya or something.
We got Scott. Good heavens.
What happened to your microphone?
See, I told you. I don't have a job now, so let's
give your microphone away. Give it away. Give it away, Scott.
I hurt somebody.
Give it away.
10-4, okay.
I scratched the table. There you go. All right.
Man,
he didn't pass me a card, so I haven't.
You can't keep him quiet, man.
No.
That's Scotty Mack, man.
Now, Jason, we're gonna have a whole new deal in 2007 at Charlotte County Motorsports Park. I have kept a low profile about this whole situation.
I've been waiting for you to call me.
I know. I'm just kind of like, okay, I'll let them talk about it, but let's not announce it until it's time to do it. But I guess this weekend I got to give it up, that I will be joining Charlotte County Motorsports Park as an announcer. And taking care of them this year with some of my race reports and things I do. And that is all to help out my friend Bobby Deal and the Charlotte County Speedway in general.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, we've been there before and announced a couple races, so it'll work out really good.
And I need your young legs to go up and down them stairs, buddy. That's what it's really about. But we appreciate that, and we appreciate, allowing me to come on board. But we got some things coming up this weekend we want to hit real quick, and then we got to get on to these
A lot of big stuff going on in the Charlotte County Motorsports Park, man, and everybody out there, you need to make your way down there. Pick up a copy of Keels and Wheels in the back of it. Going to have everything going on. Saturday is going to be a big media day, so come on out. Everybody's going to be practicing, so you can get out and meet the drivers and everything else. Check out the changes at the new track. And
we're hoping to have a bunch of cars on display of different genres, because they want to, in the future, folks, you're going to see the plans written up somewhere out there that they want to have a drag strip. They want to have a motocross track. We want to have a lot of things there to make it a real Charlotte County Motorsports Park, not just a racetrack.
Oh, yeah, all kinds of stuff going on. I mean, we're even going to get the Suncoast Outlaw Street Stocks in there, and actually got Gary LePant here from Florida Suncoast Outlaw Street Stocks. Gary, you guys got a big thing going on down there, going to try to get 50-lap races in there?
Yes, Bobby Dale's giving us 12 races this year. We're going to have three of our street stocks down there over the weekend for you on display.
Cool, sounds like a good deal. Now, how many races are you guys going to be going at this? Don't think you turned on there, buddy.
Yeah, it's okay.
Right now we've got the 12 with Bobby.
12 with Bobby. So that's going to be a pretty good race.
50 lappers.
All right, and also with us we've got, I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name before we came
I'm
up here.
Ken Sands from the Central Florida Wingless Sprints. We have 11 races at Charlotte County, but we have 19 races total.
And wow, how many now, with the Outlaw Street Stocks, how many did you say you guys are going to be bringing with you?
How many cars?
How many cars that you guys had that whenever? Now, what are you expecting whenever you're going to come down for the races?
We're hoping at least 20 to 23 cars.
Awesome. And what are the Wingless Sprints going
to
be bringing?
We bring 18 to 20.
Wow, that's going to be a great, great
We're
going
to be running the same nights as the Street Stocks, with the exception of their first race.
Cool. Good deal. I mean, if you haven't seen Wing Sprint cars, if you haven't seen Wingless Sprint cars, if you haven't seen the Outlaw Street Stocks, you got to come see them, because Outlaw Street Stocks, that's racing at its best right there. And then you've got, like, the old days, the open-wheel cars.
Street Stock on steroids.
Yes.
You ain't kidding.
I know.
With this Outlaw Street Stock, it's Metris cars and full-body cars, no Camaros or compacts. We're going back to the 350s, no 400s, automatic transmissions, and we can run headers, and we're just looking to take it back to the old-day racing.
Sounds good. That's what we need to do, because it's getting so expensive to race anymore. I was talking...
Go ahead.
What's up, Rick?
I was just say before I get too far away from the thought in my mind, Kenny has gone from being an announcer at East Bay to owning a race car to now kind of working the series.
Oh, you forgot one. He owned a racetrack, too.
I ran a racetrack for a little while.
Yeah. But why
I still own a sprint car.
I know.
That races at East Bay,
right?
Along with promoting the series.
Where I was getting to was promoting the series, has that been kind of almost the hardest one of the bunch?
Yes.
To get everybody in the same page.
To get all the promoters to work together.
You just said it was easy. I'm going to fall out.
Damn, what have I been doing wrong?
Well, I know that there's a lot of things going on in Florida racing and in Southeast here that are hopefully making things better in the long run. And I know that a lot of folks are involved, and it's guys like you that make it happen, too. We don't want to, short anybody on anything, but we thank you for, taking the time to talk to us tonight, as we got like 5 minutes left.
Jason, go ahead.
We're going to go 10 minutes after the show.
Introduce our next guest.
Real quick, right here next to me. King of the figure eights right here, buddy. I
How long? All right, you forgot my name again.
I did. Well, last time I met
you. I am the most hated figure eight driver John in the world. John Laval. Did you race up at Indianapolis Speedrome?
Didn't you race at DeSoto that the last time we had that?
Yes, that's where my three cars that whooped everybody.
I was in that race. They hit me.
It was a interesting race, rainy night.
They hit me hard.
I've been looking for a promoter for a bunch of years to try and bring figure eight back to health and back to filling the grandstands, the grandstand side, not the pit side, and nothing but figure eight races. Look at Bill Green smiling. Mm-hmm. Look at
we
him
love
smiling.
Figure eight races.
Oh, I see something good.
Figure eight racing every night at Sunshine Speedway was one of my favorite parts of the whole night.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
I'd give my last paycheck to go watch a figure eight race.
I got a little bored with what was happening in Florida. Everybody was kind of in junk street stocks, and in the early 90s, these guys from the Indianapolis Speedrome in Indianapolis, Indiana, came to Florida touring with a man named John Stiles. And I saw $80,000 figure eight cars. No rules. Run what you brung. I got a place for them old late model motors. It ain't good in a crate late model no more. A figure
there
eight
you
car.
Go.
There you go.
Talking to Bobby, he seems somewhat committed to try and bring figure eight back to prominence. I'd like to see some big long-distance events. I'm going to bring a couple of my better-looking cars down on Saturday to display them. We're just in the preliminary stages of getting going with Bobby and Figure 8 program, but we hope to bring you some good, exciting racing.
It'll be just hours before the Myers start calling.
There's only one of them left. Charlie, he's awful humble all by himself nowadays. Man, I remember when I used to tremble in my boots and get crushed by them little square boxes.
Figure 8 racing at Charlotte County Motorsports. See, I can't wait to see it.
It'll take a while.
Because they've been there before, and they put on a great show, so I can't wait to see them come back again.
Tried with Leroy, but we just never got the follow-up. We had a 28-car show one night, and
Jason, you
Leroy got upset because he had to pay too many people for racing.
Well, we need to get you all up to DeSoto. John, once the deal gets settled in, we'll get you all back up here. We'll do a figure eight show.
Weren't you in that one in the rain that night?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In a mini stock?
Yeah, really? No, I was in the Camaro.
Oh, in the Camaro?
In the Camaro. Yeah,
we
climbed in that car.
That?
Yeah, we climbed in them cars, 2:30 in the morning?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, it was late.
What? Everybody's scared of a figure eight car, but
they'll
jump
it.
In a bus and run figure eight.
I loved it. I loved it.
Doesn't anyone else see that?
Jason, real quick, wind us down, man. What's going on, Charlotte County Speedway?
Charlotte County Speedway this weekend. Don't want to miss it. Saturday the 13th, going to have media day. Everybody bring the kids out. Let's look at some race cars going to be on display out there. Going to be having practice all day from 9 till 4 o'clock. Just come on out, see the new look at the track. It's going to be great. And then following that Sunday afternoon, going to be the Brian Davidson Memorial 150 along with Pro Trucks and also the Backbone classes. Had Donnie Ollie Jr. here with us in the Road Warriors. Got Les Couch in the 33, going to be in the Junkyard Dogs, and big time going to be running, going to be the Thunder Trucks. And that field has definitely grown really, really big, so you got to come out and see them. Got guys like Larry Ballard Jr., Jay Ray, he's down there, Randy Kyle. I mean, just a lot of good guys down there racing. Make sure you check out Keels and Wheels. You can get them all over Southwest Florida. Check out the back cover. Going to tell you everything that's going on, so pick up some Keels and Wheels. Big, big show of racing at the Charlotte County Motorsports
Park. You
should have
been lucky enough to be around when they used to run Sunshine Speedway early on the figure eights and then drive to DeSoto and do it again.
As a kid, I was there watching them.
We'll race between the racetracks.
Be out there Sunday. We're going to broadcast the race live.
Jason, I have
Short
a question
track
for
America.
You. How are you going to deal with sharing that microphone up there in that tower with Bill Green?
There's two microphones. I'm just going to have to talk louder than him.
He's over there on the side. He can actually probably dial his up, dial mine down. I know what's going
to
happen.
Scotty Mack, brother, it's good to have you back in the house, man.
And I just met him,
too.
Yeah. Good, nice to meet you, buddy.
We appreciate all you guys. And I'm so sorry we ran
short on
time.
I used to think that I was like a really good announcer. And now
we will
do
more to talk to all of you about
series
and so forth.
There's perfect sound. The guy I worked with at Lakeland the last time, boy, he was great sounding, too. Yeah. At one time, I thought I was the bomb, and now...
You were the bomb,
just
man.
Another...
Folks,
you
got
to
be here.
Real quick, I know you guys have got to go. Scott McAllister, Motorsports Management, 304-352-804-078. Carolina Racing Connection. Give me a call if you're looking to move up to a higher series. Got some rental programs for you. Give me a call, 352-804-078.
Charlotte County Motorsports Park. Don't miss it this weekend. Saturday Media Day. Sunday, Brian Davidson Memorial 150. It's going to be a good time. Get your Keels and Wheels right now.
All right, brother. Real Racing USA. What a night.
We've gotten through 2 hours, or actually 3 hours of stuff in 2 hours.
No doubt.
It's amazing. Be back next week, ladies and gentlemen. You'll hear more about the Winter National programs around the state and a lot of racing starting to kick off a little further north as they try to keep up with the Sunshine State. So we'll look forward to it.
No doubt. We want to thank everybody that came out tonight. What a house we had here tonight, man. Real Racing USA will return next Tuesday night, 7
Thanks
to
so
9
much,
p.m. right
here
at the Snook River Grill, 2505 Manatee Avenue East in beautiful Bradenton, Florida. We'll see y'all at the Brian Davidson Memorial at Charlotte Motorsports Park this Sunday.
Good night, Clark.
Until then, good night now.
Good night, Clark Kent.
One more time.